family made a very difficult decision, quite clearly.
Angel had been found in a field in Indiana after both her parents and two siblings were killed in that tornado. In other news, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and President Obama will meet at the White House today to try and hash out a solution to the tensions being caused by Iran's nuclear program.
Israel says Iran's growing nuclear capabilities are a threat to its existence. And President Obama told a group of Israeli lobbyists Sunday that the U.S. will act to defend its ally, though he stressed his desire for a diplomatic solution. Prime Minister Netanyahu and the president will discuss just what action should be taken to halt Iran's nuclear enrichment activities.
CNN's Tommy Andres reporting. While there are already complaints of an unfair presidential election in Russia, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe says conditions were clearly skewed in favor of one candidate. Vladimir Putin won with about two-thirds of the vote. It'll be his third term as president. In New Mexico, they have found the body of a missing four-year-old boy. A detective spotted the body when he shined a flashlight into a neighbor's well. Now, they brought in a team of miners, but say it could take several days to recover the body. They'll decide then whether it was an accident or foul play. And just ahead of Super Tuesday, two conservatives, Congressman Eric Cantor and Senator Tom Coburn, are both endorsing Mitt Romney. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Gentlemen, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from AccountTemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call AccountTemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from AccountTemps, sir. Right after I cash my paycheck.
Who are you?
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the sandstorms of the Mojave Desert, nor the dust and dirt of a Texas rodeo, nor the glare of the bright lights of Broadway can keep you from having the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for the mature eye care professional.
Stock in BP is on a roll in overseas trades today after the company struck a deal with a group representing tens of thousands of individuals and businesses hurt by the 2010 Deepwater Horizon rig explosion and massive oil spill in the Gulf. The legal settlement is $7.8 billion, substantially less than many investors had feared. BP still may need to pay out large sums to other groups of spill victims and still faces legal action by the federal and state governments. The weekend was a bit rough for the freshly integrated United Continental Airlines, as well as for thousands of passengers. Saturday morning is when the carrier threw the switch on a new computer system integrating the long independent United and Continental systems. The result was long lines, confused ticket agents, and multiple missed connections. Stock futures are down as stock markets around the world fall today. Asian and European markets mostly down about 1%. Right now, S&P futures losing 6 points, NASDAQ futures down 12. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
I've been riding since I was 17, flat out my whole life, had some medical issues. Then I was prescribed one drug one place, another somewhere else. United Healthcare saw I could be in real trouble if I had taken both drugs together. They spotted the danger, and United Healthcare warned my pharmacist in time. We only get one shot. And I want to leave this life exhausted.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
There are many debt relief plans and scams out there. So if you find yourself with $10,000 or more in credit card debt and you just want the facts about legitimate debt relief solutions available to you, then call American Credit Card Solutions for a free informational kit that will tell you about your options in simple, easy-to-understand terminology. The kit is free, the shipping is free, and there is absolutely no sales pitch, just the facts, sent directly to you in the mail. This free informational kit can be mailed to you today so you can examine all the debt relief options available in the comfort of your home with no one pressuring you to make a quick decision. Call 800-912-1515 and ask for your free kit. That's 800-912-1515. This is a first-come, first-serve offer, and kits are limited. So call right now for your free debt informational kit. 800-912-1515. That's 800-912-1515.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you. Then they say you're mad. Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome to Monday morning. Thanks so much for punching in with us. It is Monday, the fifth day of March 2012. I appreciate you all being back with us after a long weekend. I, of course, was off to Kalamazoo. I'll get to that a little bit later on in this hour. Had a great time, though, and certainly, I want to thank the United Steelworkers Union for everything they did on Saturday and early Sunday morning. I had a great time, but again, I'll get to that in just a moment, but did have a great, great time on this very, what was for me, a very short weekend. We have a lot to get to today and a lot of information that you're going to need. Amongst our regular guests, State Representative Harvey Santana will be in studio with us in the 7 o'clock hour, and of course, Occupy Detroit will be with us as well. Lee Gaddies will be along. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party at 8 o'clock. And Christine Berry, in our blog roll segment this week, will be joining us at 8:35 as we wrap up the day today. But between now and then, we've got a lot to get to, including, and certainly it would be only fair of us to talk about Rush Limbaugh and some other stuff that happened over the weekend. So why don't we do what we do so well and get this thing going?
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, yes, our first word today actually is Republican. And I got to tell you, the reason our first word today is Republican is I'm beginning to believe that not only have they lost their way, they've lost the very foundation of which they were founded. They don't know who they are anymore. They are fractured. They are splintered. They are confused. And they are wrong. They are wrong for the way they defend certain peoples. They are wrong for the way they defend even their core principles anymore. Because they no longer have room in their heart for negotiation. Some of the people that have listened to this show and previous shows that I've hosted on and off, and if you're following us on Facebook, you'll see that I have been, I had and was engaged with a listener yesterday who not only do he and I disagree, but he has fallen off the deep end. Listen, folks, when you're a Republican, and again, I've said this quite a bit last week, I understand it's difficult to be one of them right now. I have talked passionately about the late 70s, early 80s, how difficult it was to be a Democrat. The party was in disarray, as the Republican Party is now. They don't know who they are. And it's frustrating, but don't take it out on everybody else, please. Oh, to be a Republican is to be, I don't know, disappointed, confused, suicidal, maniacal, or all of the above. You can choose or add to the list. Yep, today's first word is Republican. All right, turn our attention now to Mr. Jeff Radford. Jeff, hope you had a great weekend. Mine just flew by, but for all the right reasons. I was out of town for most of it.
Yeah, mine was pretty quick moving as well. Whenever you don't have to work, it seems like the weekend goes by fast. And when you do have to work, it's like, geez, the weekend's dragging on.
I don't have that experience.
All right, well, I'm just letting you know. If you ever have that experience, that's what you'll
okay, well, I always work
endure.
Every weekend, so that's okay. I don't mind working. I prefer to be working. There is no, I guess Saturday technically is kind of a day off for me. But, you know, one of the problems with being the host of a show is you really got to stay on top of what's happening. You know, you really do. You can't say, well, it's the weekend, man. I don't need to worry about that. Because I have to worry about that. So, anyway. I hope you did something at least fun or enjoyable for yourself.
I watched Michigan State and Ohio State yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah. You didn't watch Michigan?
Yeah, we watched Michigan, but it wasn't as exciting.
You said we.
Yeah, I was with friends.
Well, good.
All right, good.
I wasn't sure if maybe all of a sudden there's a woman in the picture.
Who I just watched sports with?
Sure, that could happen.
All right. Well, no. All right. Watch it with a friend.
All right. Well, I did watch the Michigan game with Dominic, who's home on break from Michigan State. I did not watch the Michigan State game, but, of course, they did lose. So, as you shared with us on Friday, the scenario that played out is they all share a third, not that it works that way, of the Big Ten championship. How does it work? They just all three get to share? Is that how it works?
Yep, all three will have a share of the Big Ten title. Now, the seeding is a little different. Michigan State will get the number one seed in the upcoming Big Ten tournament, but the top four teams in the Big Ten get a bye anyway, so it doesn't really matter. It doesn't play. I mean, the only thing that matters is that now Michigan and Ohio State, if they both win, will face each other, whereas Michigan State will get whoever the four seed is, which I think it might be Indiana, maybe. And that's, again, without upsets occurring and all. Whatever. I mean, the Big Ten tournament is neither here nor there. But, yeah, the regular season, all three teams will share.
And when did they announce the NCAA tournament pairings?
They will do that, I think, next week.
Okay. Well, I know that's a big deal. That also, again, is another sign for me that spring is on its way, weather-wise.
So, March Madness? Of course, yes. So this is championship week. So that's all the conferences will try to determine their champion through tournaments, and then those will automatically get bids into the dance. So, you know, if you're a Northwestern fan, you kind of hope they win the tournament just so that you don't have to be on the bubble. But they actually survived a little bit last night. Not that any Northwestern fans are listening, I guess, this early. But last night, one of the conference championships actually went to a team that was supposed to win it. And if they would have got upset, then that really decreases Northwestern's chances.
Okay, well, you've lost me now. So I'm just being honest. What does Northwestern have to do with anything?
Because the Big Ten only gets so many teams in, and they've never made it to the NCAA tournament before.
Okay, well, then in retrospect, I understand that. All right, that's cool. I got an unusual amount of email this weekend, and you want to guess what it was about?
Rush Limbaugh?
Yeah, it just so happens to be that's what it was about. I had posted some stuff on both Friday and Saturday, and listen, you know, let me just say a couple things up front. Not that this is going to be a revelation for anybody, Jeff. I have never in my career, and at the peak of my syndicated career, I was on 212 stations, which is a lot of freaking radio stations. Doesn't come close to what Rush Limbaugh does. Rush Limbaugh's on 600 radio stations every day. He has an audience of estimated 20 million, and I'm not even going to question that it's that, because I'm sure it is. So to even begin to know what that's like, I don't. And so even at the pinnacle, at the top of my career, I didn't come close to the numbers that Rush does in an average quarter hour in my entire career, okay? So let's just admit that up front. I have never come close to making the kind of money that Rush Limbaugh makes in a month. I probably have never made in a year what he makes in a month, okay? Maybe even in a week. Hell, I don't know. He makes a lot of money. He makes a lot of money. So let me say that all up front. But that doesn't mean that what we do is any different. How much money you make, how many stations you're on, how many people hear you does not change the basic tenet of what we do as political talkers, right? We still have a responsibility to truth. We still have a responsibility to our audience. And listen, and I understand that we come from different political, philosophical, and ideological backgrounds. I get that. Here's my concern. And I think that this has kind of bore itself out on the website, on the Facebook page, and certainly on the internet. The conservatives, Jeff, and we're going to really get into this after the break, but the conservatives are taking Sandra Fluck and doing everything they can do to discredit her as a person. which has absolutely nothing to do with what Rush Limbaugh did. And that's the part that's blowing my mind. And here's the other thing. Good, everyday, random, run-of-the-mill people that consider themselves Republicans are so hell-bent on defending Rush that they're forgetting what it makes them look like, which I find absolutely fascinating. Do you?
Well, yeah, of course.
I mean, again, let me reiterate that. People are insistent on defending Rush Limbaugh and what he did, only to make themselves look like fools. And I just don't get that. Listen, you know, we're going to listen to some audio after the break. There have been Republicans, prominent conservatives, that have disagreed with what Rush Limbaugh said, and were, you know, Eric Cantor was on Meet the Press yesterday. Jeff, I don't know if you saw it, and you know, even he used fairly strong language, you know, and addressing what Rush Limbaugh did. I mean, he was pretty clear about it. Not that Newt Gingrich would, not that Mitt Romney would. Santorum was a little better than the others, but you know, I don't know that Ron Paul commented on it or not, because I haven't seen it. But this idea that if you discredit Sandra Fluck somehow makes what Rush Limbaugh did acceptable, I find confusing. Because what he did was reprehensible. What he did was a disservice to women everywhere. And to spew that kind of hatred and to think that you should just be allowed to get away with it because all of a sudden you apologize, and I've got a list of apologies in front of me that Jeff was nice enough to print off for me this morning, that makes you wonder. It's not enough to say I'm sorry. Let's take a break. 888-552-3595. We're going to spend a little time on this. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. We'll take the break. We'll be back right after this.
First Chip with Tony Trupiano.
The world is changing, so I don't know if really hardcore conservative Americans are wielding the influence that they once did.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Big accident in the southbound Lodge right before Wyoming. Two lanes are blocked. Only one lane is open with debris in that one free lane. Expect some problems if you're headed down that way. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast on the National Weather Service, some snow showers this morning. Partly sunny, a high near 30. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 23. Tomorrow, much warmer. Partly sunny, a high near 47. Gusty winds out of the south as well. Right now, it's overcast and 22 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me, State Senator Bert Johnson.
Jefferson?
How we want to do this is very simple. The state of Michigan taxpayers give away every year $35 billion, with a B, dollars to corporations in tax breaks and tax credits. We want to take a look from an accountability standpoint at every single one of those dollars. One of the biggest things the governor said last year was that he wanted to manage and look at and be accountable to every citizen for all of these tax credits. We know that there are many loopholes that can be closed. We want to take a mere 10% of those dollars back. That would be $3.5 billion. That would be enough, Tony, to cover the bill to send every high school grad, I don't care if you went to private or public or homeschool, if you graduated, we want to send every high school grad to college with a full $9,500 grant that would be enough to cover every dollar of tuition at any of our 15 public universities and our junior colleges.
First Shift with Tony Trivia
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Thanks for punching in on this early morning. We are talking about Rush Limbaugh. Again, I had said that there are people, prominent people on the right, including George Will, who actually had a very interesting comment before we go to the phones, had an interesting comment to make. This is what George Will had to say yesterday on This Week.
I can only imagine the pressure that Rush Limbaugh was on yesterday that forced that apology. We know that advertisers came out and started to pull their ads. I would imagine also Republican leadership calling and saying, get this issue off our backs.
Well, it would have been nice if they'd shared that with the larger public, the Republican leaders. Instead, Mr. Boehner comes out and says, Russia's language was inappropriate. Using the salad fork for your entree, that's inappropriate. I mean, and Rick Santorum says, well, what he said was absurd, but an entertainer is allowed to be absurd. No, it is the responsibility of conservatives to police the right in its excesses, just as the liberals unfailingly fail to police the excesses on their own side. And it was depressing because what it indicates is that the Republican leaders are afraid of Rush Limbaugh. They want to bomb Iran, yes. But they're afraid of Rush Limbaugh.
Yes. And then, and are they afraid of Rush Limbaugh? That's a great point. Jeff, very quickly before we get to Dave's call, do you think the Republicans politicians are afraid of Rush Limbaugh?
Well, the ones running for office seem that way.
Yeah, it sure does seem that way. Not strong enough language coming out of the legislature as well, but we'll come back to that. 888-552-3595. Dave in Farmington joins us now. Dave, thanks for punching in. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, you know, I was listening the last 3 or 4 days on people's defense of Rush Limbaugh, and there seems to be the strongest weapon they use is, well, pundits on the left do the same thing, and they kind of alluded to Joe Wassenbeck. And this is the difference that they failed to bring up. Ms. Flood got before Congress, and she stated her opinion. I don't think there's anything that, any of her statements that could be construed as a lie. Joe Wassenbeck went before a standing U.S. senator that was running for the presidency and lied to him. Joe Wassenbeck is not a plumber. He doesn't have a plumbing license, never had. He was such a monumental screw-up in Local 15, Toledo, the plumber's local. They kicked him out before he had a plumbing license. He had no chance of being a plumber. So he proposed a scenario that he was incapable of fulfilling. Joe Wassenbeck is, in fact, a liar. That's the difference.
Well, you know, they also, and Dave, I appreciate the call. They also talked about Ed Schultz. Ed Schultz had called the nationally syndicated radio show host Laura Ingraham a slut. And a lot of people have made that connection there. And so, okay, you know, yes, Ed apologized. So people are saying, you know, what's the difference? Because that was a forced apology. And Rush's was a forced apology, and the biggest difference is there's a pattern of hate speech with Rush Limbaugh. There's not a pattern of hate speech with Ed Schultz, and we, you know, can clearly demonstrate that. You might not disagree with what Ed is saying on a daily basis, but it's certainly not hate speech. And again, the list of things that Rush Limbaugh has done in the name of hate are long and quite storied. So, and I'll get to that if I need to.
Well, isn't the target of their aggression, I guess, in both cases different as well? I mean, you're attacking a private citizen who stepped forward to testify in front of Congress on an issue that's front hand. The other target is another syndicated radio show host who basically gets her recognition by saying outlandish, crazy things. I mean, she's not that she's asking to be called those names, but she's bringing on criticisms. Where the other one is just stating a case, you know, a simple citizen looking for some rights.
Well, obviously, you're not going to get an argument out of me. Again, we're going to go back to this idea that people were defending Rush this weekend over the fact that, you know, come to find out, Sandra Fluck was actually an activist and she's a liberal this and she does this for the left. So what? So what? She was giving expert testimony, Jeff. Well, I guess then you might want to have an expert giving it, wouldn't you?
As long as she's a moderate, as long as she has no political leanings at all.
Well, no, even that wouldn't have been good enough for these folks. I mean, that's
then,
for,
yeah,
that's
then
for honesty.
Be unconnected.
Guys, sure. Yeah, all right. 888-552-3595. Tom in Detroit joins us now. Good morning, brother. How you doing today?
Out of my Monday morning, man. But anyway, you know what? I would hope that these other sponsors would follow the lead of Dan Gilbert, the founder and CEO of Quicken Loans, and go ahead and pull their sponsorship for the program. I mean, you know, Rush Limbaugh insulted all women when he opened up his mouth before his brain was running, if he's got a brain, and said what he said about this young lady. And, I mean, the comments were cold, callous, and, you know, demeaning. And, I mean, that kind of stuff, you know, it's got to go. Rush Limbaugh should have the same thing happen to him that happened to Don Imus when he sat there, and we know it, he called those young girls who were college players, and I forget what university it was. But, you know, he needs to be put in the ranks of the unemployed, and so he can go out there and maybe try and crawl up under a rock somewhere and find a station, which nobody has ever heard of. But, you know, it gets to a point where there's a line drawn in the sand and you don't cross that line. And I mean, the Republicans, these people, Jelly has more intestinal fortitude than these guys do. And I mean, I'm not, you know, being sexist here, but I mean, I have a T-shirt that says, should you stand for something or die for nothing?
And again, Tom, thank you for your call. Let me read Rush Limbaugh's apology. This is what he said in his apology. My choice of words was not the best. And in the attempt to be humorous, I created a national stir. I sincerely apologize to Ms. Fluck for the insulting word choices. Now, you have to make a decision whether or not you believe the apology. Let's break it down. Not that hard to do. My choice of words was not the best. Certainly we'd agree with that. And in the attempt to be humorous, the part I don't believe, I created a national stir, the part I do believe. I sincerely apologize. I do not believe to Ms. Fluck in the insulting word choices. Now, in an attempt to be humorous, unless I got this wrong, Rush Limbaugh, I believe, is 60 or 61 years old. He has been doing what he's been doing a long time, a couple decades now or more. He often talks about the absurdity of what he does, but absurdity and humor is not the same thing. They've never been the same thing, so we can't make the connection there. I have in front of me, again, a list that Jeff gave me of some past apologies. Number one, 1988, Amy Carter is the most unattractive presidential daughter in the history of the country. Number two, in 1992, Chelsea Clinton, the White House dog. Number three, Cheryl Miller was a transsexual lesbian. That's from his book. Number four, Donovan McNabb, when he was with Russ was with ESPN. The media, he said, has that very desirous that a black quarterback do well. He picked on Michael J. Fox, saying he either didn't take his medication or he's acting. And it goes on, calling the president Curious George, and Sandra Fluck, of course, a slut and prostitute. We'll come back and talk some more. Also, my trip to Kalamazoo and what happened there. Nah, it's all good. We'll take the break. This is 1310 WDTW. I'm Tony Trupiano. Good Monday morning to you. We'll be back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We do have an accident out there in the Lodge southbound before Wyoming. The two left lanes are blocked, only the right lane is open, but there's debris in that one as well. A four-car accident. Expect some delays headed downtown. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, some snow showers this morning, partly sunny, a high right around the 30-degree mark. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 23, and then tomorrow, partly sunny, warmer, a high in the mid to upper 40s. Gusty winds out of the south as well. Right now it's overcast and 22 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Recently on First Shift.
And I welcome Jeremy Moore to the show.
Mostly what I'm going to be testifying to is just that the university, the Board of Regents, recognize us as employees. A majority of graduate student research assistants at Michigan have signed cards indicating that we want a union election. And that, you know, this is being decided independently of the legislature. And I don't understand why they want to become involved with this process when, you know, as you said earlier on the program, they should be focused on, you know, things that are more important to the state, creating jobs and, you know, fixing real problems instead of trying to get involved with our union election.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Let's go spelunking in Rick Santorum's head. There, we can probe the inner sanctums of his brain and discover his deepest thoughts. But once inside the Santorum skull, we find that there are no deep thoughts at all in here. Only acrid shallows of intolerant fundamentalist theology and the slippery moss of right-wing ideology. This explains why Santorum, whose name, after all, does derive from the same Latin root as sanctimonious, has now come out as the full-throated standard-bearer of the GOP's Christian extremist constituency. Like an angry street preacher of pietistic correctness, he literally sees the devil at work in government policies, liberals generally, and Obama specifically. Obama's environmentalism, he cries out, is phony theology, an attack on God's will that man has total dominion over earth and all things within it. He rejects birth control as the devil's tool for promoting mass promiscuity, and he wails that government must stop funding prenatal checkups, for they're the invention of liberals who are trolling for babies to abort. Indeed, the mere suggestion that an abortion might be legitimate for any reason whatsoever causes an eruption of fetid swamp gas from the narrow creases of Santorum's mind. Even a victim of vicious rape, he preaches, must view her pregnancy as, quote, the gift of human life, and accept what God has given to you. He devoutly intones that although this is a fetus forced on her by the horror of rape, it is her child. This is Jim Hightower saying, not only does such dogmatic fanaticism shape Santorum's worldview, but it would also define his presidency. Forget separation of church and state. He says his own religious doctrine must be enthroned to help shape proper public policy. All hail Santorum, theocrat in chief.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
Then the other news in contraception this week was Rush Limbaugh
criticizing a young law student who stood up and said, look, at Georgetown Law School, not only am I required to pay for my own health insurance, because Georgetown law requires all students to pay for health insurance, but contraception is not covered. And what did he do? He called her a slut. A slut. And now, I'm sorry. I know he apologized, but forgive me if I doubt his sincerity, given that he lost at least six advertisers. And the bottom line is that the leading candidate on the Republican side for president couldn't even bring himself to call Rush Limbaugh's comments outrageous and call him out and ask him to apologize.
You're talking about Mitt Romney.
Yes, Mitt Romney. What woman in America, and Rush Limbaugh, in that apology, said that he was trying to be humorous. I don't know any woman in America, David, that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Yeah, no question about it. Welcome back. By the way, Jeff, I thought you'd get a kick out of this. Jerry just emails me, and he said, hey, Tony, I emailed Rush Limbaugh that I would gladly pay for the aspirin to put between his lips. That was pretty clever. Good job, Jerry. Good job. 888-552-3595. Amir joins us from Detroit. Amir, my brother, good morning to you.
Hey, how you doing, Tony?
Good. What's on your mind today?
You know, I just, and when I first called in, I was going to talk about Rush, but he's irrelevant to me. I have daughters. My daughters are respectful young women. Well, the one that's old enough. The other ones are little girls. So, for Rush, it's none of void. But to average working people that get up every morning and go to work, ask yourself this question. Since the 80s, what policies have Republicans put in place to help working class Americans? Then when you answer that question and you can literally state a fact, not come up with your belief and ideology, state a fact of an actual bill that some Republicans sponsored that helped average working Americans with safety, wages, or anything. And that's, tell me, why should I vote for a Republican when you can't find those answers? Because I haven't found one yet.
And you're not going to, Amir. You know,
and that's why I ask people, think when you get up every morning and you ask yourself, why should you vote for a Republican? For 2 years, I was laid off, and when the stimulus package went in to help the auto bailout, even though I'm not in the automotive industry, I'm in the manufacturing industry, it still helped. And for me to get up and say I'm going to vote for a Republican because of contraceptives or Jesus Christ coming back, to me is mute because my government has nothing to do with my beliefs.
Well, listen, there are plenty, and Amir, as always, I appreciate the call, and I'm just glad to have you back, brother. I truly am. You're right. There are plenty of reasons. We don't even need what's happened over the last couple of days to add to the list of reasons why it can't be easy to be a Republican, but more importantly, why we wouldn't want to vote Republican. No question, that's true. What Rush Limbaugh does is, of course, underscores how important it is we start to take a serious look at those people that lead us when they can't even come out en masse. And then this should have been a no-brainer for Republicans. They should have been all over this. But it should never got to this point to begin with. They should have never convened. The Republicans should have never convened a women's health conference without inviting women. And then they should have never convened another conference. Oh, never mind. We'll come back to it. 888-552-3595. It's so frustrating to deal with anything Republican these days because they are so dysfunctional. Sam in Detroit joins us now. Sam, good morning to you. Thanks for punching in. What's on your mind?
Hi, Tony. I want to talk about Rush. One thing that we fail to notice here that Rush is just like the Banks among the Republican Party. He's too big to fail. No matter how many advertisers leave Rush, they're not going to pull him off the air. Just like Fox News, they lost money. There's a point to this. They're trying to get their message out. No matter how horrible the message, they're going to push it. And they're not going to pull Rush. And another thing, Tony, I don't understand how these candidates can sit up and tiptoe around all this with all this visceral language out here. It's just killing them. It seems like the Republican Party is just killing themselves right now. They can't leave the right to try to be human. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
I don't either. Somebody posted, Sam, and thank you for your call. Somebody posted to the Facebook page yesterday, a good Democrat. I mean, a really good Democrat. Posted the Facebook page, you know, they miss the days of Ronald Reagan. We don't necessarily agree with what Ronald Reagan said or did, especially what he did to organize labor. But at least you knew where he was coming from. You knew what he was talking about. And there were times where you could even negotiate with this guy. The Republicans today, that's out of the question. Sam, very smart phone call. Very smart phone call. He's right, Jeff. They're not going to get rid of Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh is not going to lose his job. For every advertiser that walks away from Rush, I'll bet you there are 3 to 5 that are standing in line to take that slot. I'm serious. For every, you know, Carbonite, I don't know if you saw Carbonite's reasoning for pulling their advertising. It was a beautiful statement. But for every Carbonite, there are 3 to 5 non-Carbonites out there that are saying, hell no, I'll get on Rush Limbaugh any day of the week. You see, for some people, it's just about the money, and those people don't have morals and values.
The problem with him is, and the GOP is coming out and saying, well, he doesn't speak for us, and no one takes him seriously.
Which is bullcrap.
He's just about entertainment, so he can be as absurd as he wants because no one takes him serious, and that's exactly right. I mean, they're going to say that, but they also understand that a lot of their base, you know, hangs on every word that he says.
Absolutely. Here's an example. I got this a lot this weekend, and I'm sure you're seeing it as well. Bill Maher. We'll bring up Bill Maher. He called so-and-so a very nasty name, right? All right. And he does it every week. And he does this every week. And he does that every week. Well, you know, okay. So what's the point? The point is this is what he does every single week. He's a little bit outrageous. I don't even agree with everything Bill Maher says, Jeff. But, you know, it's the way that his show is set up. It's the way it's designed. All right? It's also on cable television. His reach on his best day is maybe 2% of Rush's reach on his best day. So at some level, it's really about how, you know, deep your message goes.
I have no problem if somebody wants to go after HBO and say, hey, take them off the air. Whereas in this case, you know, people who are upset with Rush are going to the advertisers and saying, hey, don't sponsor him.
Right, and they have a right to do that. And is there any difference between this and what happened when Lowe's pulled their support of that Arab reality TV show? Is there any difference? No, none. Consumers are going to advertisers and saying, show a conscience and do not back this person. And some of them are deciding to do that. Some of them are deciding not to do it.
Well, I would say the difference is that show, like you just pointed out, has a way lesser reach. So I would think that advertisers would you know, kind of back away quicker from this one because it has a larger reach.
Well, you would think. Now, we'll see what happens. He's lost, as of this morning, 6 sponsors. That list may grow. I have no idea how he's going to respond to this today. I will not be listening because I have... As do you, after the show's over with, we have tomorrow's show to worry about. We have lots of things that we do that we that matter to putting this show together every day. All right. So we might as well stay with this till the break, and then after the break, I'll get to my weekend in Kalamazoo, which was awesome. Sean Hannity, of course, had to defend his buddy. This is what Sean Hannity had to say about Rush's comments.
And now people are mad at Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh, I've been a fan of for years. And for years, what does he say? He illustrates absurdity by being absurd. And Rush says, well, we're going to pay for it, and we got videos with it. Did he mean it? You know, for those on the... No, he did not mean it. He's making a point. And the point is that, for crying out loud, why is the taxpayer bearing the cost of the sex life of students at Georgetown University Law School? And, it, you know, and how that's missed on the media. I mean, maybe she could take a year off of law school to pay to fund, you know, the remaining 3 years of one sex life.
Okay. You know, and again, not that for women, there are men that don't know this, but for women, that they know this. A percentage of women take birth control pills. It has nothing to do with sex. It has to do with ovarian cysts. It has to do with blood flow. There are lots of different hormonal reasons women take birth control pills that have nothing to do with preventing pregnancy.
And I think Rachel Maddow made a great point over the weekend that I even slipped by me, so obviously I'm not as educated either. But you heard Rush Limbaugh constantly say, well, she's having too much sex. You don't take a pill every time. It's not like, you know, and I didn't realize this while we were listening to it, but it makes complete sense. She basically is pointing out that Rush has no idea what he's talking about because you don't take, I mean, you take a pill daily, regardless of whether you do it or not. So for him to just assume he knows the amount that's going down is ridiculous.
Well, you're right. No, and that is a great point, yes, because it is about a daily pill, and some of those are actually placebos. And, you know, and it's just to make sure that you keep taking it every day. You know, there's a cycle that women go through that, you know, do we really need to explain this? No, the bottom line is the majority of women, 98% of women in this country, either have taken or take contraception.
Well, and according to Rush, that makes them all
sluts.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We'll be back. Kalamazoo. We'll talk all about it on the other side. I am Tony Trupiano. Thank you for punching in on this early morning. State Representative Harvey Santana in the next hour. And Occupy Detroit. We got a lot to do. And excited to do it. We'll be back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
My next guest is State Representative Jim Hananich.
I think the way we have to look at it is we have a pretty substantial budget surplus that was left over from the work that Governor Granholm did. And I think a lot of times people forget about that. This was the fruits of Governor Granholm's plan sort of coming and actually starting to work. And I think we should invest that money and get back to work. And whether that's getting school teachers back in the classroom or, in this case, police officers, I think it's extremely important to make sure our communities are safe.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano. 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now. Here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, and welcome back. This first hour is just flying by on an early Monday morning, and we are going to go back to the phones. I want to welcome Cliff in Flat Rock to First Shift. Cliff, a pleasure to have you on the show this morning. What's on your mind, sir?
Morning, Tony. I just want to talk about this issue with the birth control.
Sure.
And to me, it's not an issue about birth control or women's rights at all. It's an issue about whether or not the government has the authority to tell private businesses what services or products they have to offer, and that they have to offer them for free. To me, that's just insane.
I agree, and that's obviously something, and I don't agree, which is something you and I are just going to agree to disagree on. I think that, you know, that this will come as no surprise to you, Cliff, but I'm a liberal left-winger that believes we should have single-payer health care in this country. Yes, universal health care. I think we need it. I think it's absolutely necessary.
When you owned your restaurant, did you believe that the government could come in and tell you you had to give away food?
They didn't tell me I had to give away food.
No, but do you think they have the right to do that?
No, but we're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. No, we're not. It's not. You're not comparing apples to apples, Cliff. I don't know who you think you're talking to, but I mean, there's the.
I think I'm talking to a liberal left wing
intelligent human being. You can't take care, Cliff. I mean, come on. Let's just be honest about this, folks. The reality is Republicans are afraid that if we actually do the right thing, they will lose their entire base, which they're close to doing anyway. They're in panic mode right now to begin with. But if we were to have single-payer health care, you know, the problem that the Republicans have with the Affordable Health Care Act is that it's actually turning people on, that it's actually getting them to agree with Democrats, that people are going to vote for Democrats because good things are happening when you allow Democrats to make decisions. It's a nice segue into my weekend. After I gave my speech on Saturday, Michael Bolton, who is the executive or the director of the United Steelworkers Union District 2, gave me a book as a gift, a beautiful book called From the Folks That Brought You the Weekend. It's about the history of the labor movement. How many advancements society has enjoyed as a result of Democrats being in control? You know, not that I need to point that out to most of you, but Democrats, you know, and I'll, again, because history bears me out on this, and you can go look it up, folks, for those of you that challenge me. I don't care. I'm fine with that. But the reality is that Democrats always are the ones fixing the economy the Republicans break. Traditionally, that has been the truth. Historically, that has been the truth. Democrats fix the bad economy that the Republicans create. I understand if you're a Republican how frustrating that is, because you're supposed to be the fiscally responsible party, yet you're the guys that always break the bank. George W. Bush is the responsible for the economy we currently have, and I know you guys hate that reality, but it's true. Anyway, before I go any further, let me first of all, I want to thank Michael Bolton, again, the director at U.S. Steelworkers Union Region 2, for having me out to their convention on Saturday evening. Jeff, I had a wonderful, Carla Swift was there, president of the Michigan AFL-CIO. She sat with Ann and I at dinner. We had a wonderful dinner, met some great people from the U.S. Steelworkers Union. They had a lot of people from Wisconsin were there, and it was in fact everybody at our table, with the exception of Carla and Ann and I, were from Wisconsin. So we had a chance to talk to them, and of course, you know, they've got their own fun with Scott Walker, their governor, who they're recalling. They're in the process of recalling there in Wisconsin. And so it was really great to meet some of these people beforehand, and my speech was incredibly well received, and these people were especially warm and gracious to me, and I can't thank them enough for everything they did for us this weekend. They gave us a wonderful room to stay in. The meal was fabulous, because we, of course, Jeff, being the food junkies we are, you would have gone crazy. I mean, you would have absolutely gone nuts. Good stuff. And then, of course, we had a chance to meet. And then afterwards, they had a party. I mean, a regular old party. They had a band and just all kinds of fun. And that was just a great time. I met some folks from the Blue-Green Alliance. You'll recall we had Scott Paul on from the American Manufacturing Association. There was one of the representatives from that organization was there as well. Met her. And just some, you know, just, again, regular, everyday working people who get up and go to work every day with this idea that they will one day be rewarded. And how is that? I don't know. Simple things like a collective bargaining agreement, by the ability to retire and be honored for the service to that employer for many years. I mean, things that we have come to associate with all things that are good about labor. One of the things that I was reminded of that really warmed my heart while I was there on Saturday and even early Sunday morning, as I had a chance to talk to some of the people before we left on yesterday morning, was, you know, this idea that we come together, this communal gathering that we talk about. These conventions are important for a variety of reasons. I think that we should probably do more of them, but of course we can't, because it takes us away from our jobs and we can't do that. But it's important that we remember how critical it is that we stay connected. I think it's important that we remember that, you know, it is the work that we do together. We talked on Saturday night that the theme of their conference is it's up to us. It's up to us, and it is up to us. It's no different than what we talk about on this show every day. We talked about showing up and standing up, some of the themes that you're familiar with from this program. We talked about, you know, the idea that we can take and should take control, and it's about the individual, us as individuals, giving more, how important it is that we give more. And they were very receptive to that idea. It was an amazing, amazing weekend, and I am so grateful that I was invited to speak to them. Now, I'm very excited to tell you that I've also been asked to keynote the American Federation of Teachers Conference this year in Detroit. I believe it's April 28th, and very much looking forward to speaking to that group, because y'all know how I love my teachers, and I do. All right, that's going to clean it up for us in this hour. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get to our last caller. Today, we've got Harvey Santana and Occupy Detroit in the next hour, and we will look forward to that. Harvey's got a great list of topics today. So, man, oh, man, he's on fire, but he's always on fire. We never have to worry about Harvey. Let's take a quick break here. We will come back and continue this thing we call First Shift on this Monday morning. That's right. It is March 5th. 2012. I am Tony Truppiano, and you're listening to First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We do have a couple of accidents out there. The Lodge southbound before Wyoming. Two lanes are blocked, only the right lane is open. Traffic is backed up to before McNichols. Southbound 35 before Northline. We have an accident there that has run off into the ditch. M14 eastbound on an exit ramp to Sheldon. We have an accident there. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, a chance of snow showers early, partly sunny, a high in the upper 20s to around 30. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the lower 20s. And then Tuesday, partly sunny, breezy, a high near 47. Right now, it's overcast and 22 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after the top of the hour.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Paul Chambers.
This could be a make-or-break week for the Republican presidential candidates. Over 400 delegates are at stake on Super Tuesday. CNN's Bob Costantini reports the four men vying for the White House campaigned hard over the weekend.
The candidates have been all over the Super Tuesday map of 10 states. Rick Santorum speaking on Fox News.
We're going to do well here in Tennessee. We're going to do well in Oklahoma. I think we're going to do very well also in Ohio and North Dakota. And
Santorum was ahead in polling in Ohio, but Mitt Romney has come on strong to a virtual tie. Newt Gingrich on CNN's State of the Union expects to win his home state of Georgia, but whoever takes the nomination, Gingrich thinks should win in a landslide.
The president's going to go into the fall with very expensive gasoline, a weakening economy, a disastrously bad policy in the Middle East, and a trillion-dollar deficit.
Bob Costantini, CNN, Washington.
President Obama Sunday said there's too much loose talk of war with Iran. Today, Mr. Obama will make that point again at the White House.
President Obama and Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu have met 8 times over the last 3 years, but some see Monday's face-to-face as the most important. Iran and its nuclear program will be front and center as President Obama pushes for a diplomatic solution.
CNN's Dan Lothian reporting. A toddler found alive after her home was destroyed by a tornado in Indiana has died. She was found alive Friday in a field but sustained significant head injuries. Her parents and 2 siblings also died from injuries suffered in the severe weather. It's becoming a daily event. Gas prices seem to go up nightly. The AAA reports a 0.3 cent hike in the latest 24-hour period. The national average for self-serve regular, $3.77 a gallon. Families flocked to see Dr. Seuss's The Lorax over the weekend. It earned a staggering $70 million. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
This is Charles Osgood. Why is it important that auto owners insurance works solely through local independent agents? Because independent agents live and work right in their communities, providing you with quality service and more choices. Auto owners insurance is ranked highest in customer satisfaction with auto insurance claims experience 4 years in a row, according to J.D. Power and Associates. For J.D. Power information, visit jdpower.com. For your life, home, car, and business insurance needs, visit autoowners.com. Auto owners, the no problem people.
Facility maintenance pros, ask yourself this question. Self, does managing my facility's inventory drive me crazy? If yourself answered yes, then Grainger, the best resource for facility supplies, offers KeepStock, a service that helps take the cost out of managing your inventory. With KeepStock, you'll know exactly what you have, where to find it when you need it, and you can stop all this talking to yourself. To learn more, contact your Grainger representative or visit Grainger.com/KeepStock. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
An oil pipeline fire and spill is disrupting the flow of crude from Canada to the U.S. It was caused by a traffic accident just outside Chicago. A Chevy SUV and a Mustang crashed into each other and hit a small above-ground section of the Enbridge pipeline. 2 were killed, and the pipeline operator says it could be Thursday by the time oil is flowing again. Were it not for that news, perhaps oil prices would be down even more, but today downward pressure on all markets around the world is pulling crude futures into the red, right now losing a half dollar to just over $106 a barrel in early trades. The oil spill, with which all other spills are now compared, has cost BP another $7.8 billion. The company is settling legal claims with tens of thousands of people and businesses affected by the 2010 Gulf oil spill. BP stock is higher in early trades because it was a smaller than expected settlement. Global stock markets are down today. S&P futures are losing 7 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
I've been riding since I was 17. Flat out my whole life. Had some medical issues. Then I was prescribed one drug one place, another somewhere else. United Healthcare saw I could be in real trouble if I had taken both drugs together. They spotted the danger, and United Healthcare warned my pharmacist in time. We only get one shot, and I want to leave this life exhausted.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from AccountTemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call AccountTemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from AccountTemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the sandstorms of the Mojave Desert, nor the dust and dirt of a Texas rodeo, nor the glare of the bright lights of Broadway can keep you from having the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for the mature eye care professional.
An idea. A thought. Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work, teamwork, pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujillo.
Welcome back, everybody. It is just 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday, March 5th. Pleasure to be with you. I hope everybody had a great weekend. I did. I was in Kalamazoo on Saturday, gave the keynote address to the United Steelworkers Union Conference, Region 2 Conference. Had a great time. If you were with us in the last hour, I spoke about it briefly. Certainly, we'll talk about it a little bit more as we work our way through the show today. I want to remind you at 7:50, as we do every day, Occupy Detroit. We'll occupy first shift, but of course, it is the first Monday of the month, and that only means one thing. An intro, please, Jeffrey.
Uncommon in his approach and starkly honest in his words.
Chairman Daly on the House floor says, look, you got to be careful what you say. Says, what the hell are you talking about? Says, some people took offense to your comments. I says, look, I raise issues.
First Shift welcomes back to our airwaves legislative leadership that is unique.
I'm not going to back down. If I see something wrong, I'm going to say it because that's what the people of the 10th District sent me up there to do.
From the 10th District, State Representative Harvey Santana.
And absolutely joining us right now is State Representative Harvey Santana. Harvey, great to have you back with us. It's hard to believe another month has gone by, how quickly that happens, but great to have you with us. And we got quite a list of things to get to today.
Yeah. Good morning to you. Good morning to 1310 AM, all the listeners, and thanks for having us back.
It's my pleasure. You know, I want to start with, I guess we'll start with a bill that you've got some Republican support on. When I first read this thing, I thought, okay, you know, is this really much ado about nothing? I'm going to let you explain it, though, and it has to do with mixed martial arts. What's this all about?
Well, what it is it's not my bill. It's Senator Robertson's bill in the Senate, and he has Senate Bill 808, and then Dave Ajima, Representative Dave Ajima, has a bill called, I think it's 4295. And they effectively go after the same goal, just in different ways. What it is, it's a bill that would regulate the sport of mixed martial arts in Michigan. Currently, as it stands, there are promoters out there that aren't operating by a strict adherence to rules, if you will. So, as it stands, any bar owner can go get a cage, clear the parking lot, and sell tickets, and a bunch of people get into a cage and can have a fight. Well, what ends up happening is that throughout the United States, I think it's the Boxing Athletic Commission, something like this, has banned mixed martial arts fighters from Michigan fighting anywhere else. Why? Because there's no tracking of their win-loss record, their medical history, and the like. And so what effectively has happened is that if Harvey Santana fought this week, I get knocked on the third round, and I have a concussion and 16 stitches above my eye. Well, a month from now, I can go to Ohio and have a fight and get knocked out again. And so there's no track record of it. And so they brought these issues to light because I'm a fan of the sport and because I have so much interest in it. They asked me to help and intercede and talking to other legislators about why it's important for us to really regulate this thing. And what you find out, Tony, is that a lot of these guys are either underinsured or not insured at all. So they get in the ring. There's no insurance by these promoters. So let's say they have to get rushed to the hospital because of a gash or whatever that happens. Well, they go, the doctor stitches them up, sends them on the way, and 2 weeks later they get a $5,000 bill. Well, how can you pay that bill when you're working for $7.50 an hour at the local store? And so that tends to be the theme here. And so what we're going to look at is, how do we regulate it? How do we make it fair? How do we keep the fighters safe?
Are you getting any pushback from from these quote unquote promoters? The reason I asked this, I remember years ago, and it was probably close to 20 years ago, but maybe not that long ago. These tough man competitions. You remember those were real big here?
That's right.
Especially the state of Michigan. In fact, one of the largest promoters in the country, maybe in the world, was located out of Flint or somewhere in that area. And I remember they were very popular, and they were all over the place, and all of a sudden they just disappeared. They became illegal. Are you kind of, looking at that and going, okay, we can't let that happen again?
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, what was happening back then is a lot of guys were just, they think they can put on a pair of gloves and swing after training for 6 weeks, and it just doesn't work like that. And so what we were finding is that a lot of people were getting seriously injured from this kind of thing. And so what we're doing now is making sure that if you're going to jump in a ring with somebody, that you're equally paired.
All right, so let me go back to these quote-unquote promoters. And I say quote-unquote because, a lot of times these are just opportunists, and especially these younger guys that, listen, when you're 22 to 26 years old and you're in good physical shape and you think that you can beat anybody's ass, you're going to go out there. If you can make 50 or 60 bucks or 150 bucks, it doesn't matter. I'm tough. I'm going to do it. They're going to go out and do it.
But, Tony, these are amateur fighters. They're not even getting paid.
Even worse.
They're not even getting paid. This is about pride. This is about maybe one day they can end up on the Ultimate Fighter show. They have dreams of going down the aisle, with a mouthpiece in their mouth and, a crew of people behind them with buckets and towels. It just, that's not the scenario here. These are guys that are working at your local grocery store, who do this after work. They pay all their disposable income for training and equipment. Then they get in a ring after, X amount of time, and they think that they can win.
I don't think, maybe this will show my or display my naivete, Harvey, but it would seem to me that this is one of those situations where you really shouldn't have a hard time finding bipartisan support. Oh, sure, I think that there might be and legitimately should be hearings and an extended conversation about how to protect and who to protect and all that. I get that. Are you finding that you're finding a little bipartisanship on this issue?
On the Democratic side, I really haven't tested the weeds out on it, but I think that I can get enough Democratic support, to get these guys to understand, this is needed. On the Republican side, it's always that argument and the ideology that this is more regulation on business. Well, I'm sorry, when you have fighters that in other states ended up dead because they fought one too many times, or you got cages. No, there's no regulation on cages. Cages that just break and they injure fans. There's something wrong here. We have to look at this thing, okay? This isn't Wrigley's Brothers and whatever circus. This is serious. This is about human lives here and people who are trying to compete, and we just want to make it fair. Look, I used to box in the Navy, okay? And I used to be one of those 22-year-olds with a lot of fire and vinegar. And there's a big difference between getting in the ring after 6 weeks and getting in the ring after 6 and 8 months of solid training and going after somebody.
Now, I guess I don't understand if the problem is that prevalent or you're trying to stop a problem before it becomes prevalent. So which one
it's
is
both.
It?
I mean, right now we know that there are a lot of promoters out there pushing fights, and there's no regulation as to how or what they do. Okay, and I'm trying to stop a problem, by helping these Republican senator, Mr. Robertson, with his bill, because his bill goes farther and deeper towards making sure that the sport is safe, whereas, my colleague Rep. Ajum's bill just doesn't go far enough. It just addresses the issue slightly, and we move on. That's where we're at. We're trying to prevent something bad from happening.
What would the Robertsonville do? Well, how far does it go?
Well, it requires insurance. It requires on-site ambulances to be there. It requires the promoters to carry insurance for their fighters and a whole list of other items on there that currently don't exist. I mean, like Representative Agent and I had this discussion. He goes, you know, it's ridiculous to have an ambulance on site at one of these fights. I says, why? He goes, well, because it costs a lot of money. I'm like, I says, Dave, with all due respect, I mean, how much money does a person's life cost? I mean, you got to have an ambulance on there. Here, something goes bad, you can rush the person to the hospital. He goes, well, you can get an ambulance there in 15 minutes. I says, how long does, what is there, waiting time on how somebody's going to die? No, you need an ambulance on site, man.
All of my kids played sports, and even Little League football has an ambulance at the games. Little League football, it can't be that expensive.
No, I mean, I don't believe it is. And besides, look, here's my view. If you're going to be a promoter of this type of an event, then you ought to have the financial wherewithal to provide everything that's necessary, not just for the safety of the fighters, but what if something goes bad with somebody in the audience?
Yeah, I would have to think that there's model legislation from other states that you could easily pull from. Yeah.
Yeah, there is, and there are, and we've been looking at all that and having different conversations around the table. Met with one of the promoters, went to a couple of their fights, saw what happens. Had decent conversations with them. And, you know, one of the things that Representative Ajima's bill does not do, it does not require a doctor to be at ringside. They want to lower it to a nurse practitioner. Well, I'm sorry. If you get punched in the face and your orbital socket is damaged, I want to make sure that there's a plastic surgeon or someone that deals with facial reconstruction who can see the warning signs of, okay, this guy is done and stop the fight, instead of someone who's a nurse practitioner. And all due respect with nurse practitioners, but they're not experts in facial reconstruction. They're not experts at looking at what traumatic facial injury is. And so what Robertson's bill would do is would require, you know, a doctor ringside, whereas Ajima's bill wouldn't.
Does Mr. Ajima, has he ever seen these fights?
He goes all the time. Actually, he and I are pretty decent friends. We just have starkly different views of the world. And so he's invited me to quite a few, but they're always out on his side of the stairs. So let's meet somewhere halfway.
There you go. We need to take a quick break here, so why don't everybody stay right where they're at, and we'll come back. We have a lot more to get to as well. State Representative Harvey Santana, my guest. He's with us the first Monday of every month in this time, and happy to have him today. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, what's going on in the city of Detroit and what's being done about it? Well, sometimes it takes a community, and this is one of those times. Yep, you've heard about them, Detroit 300. Who are they and what are they doing? We'll get to that and more right after we do this on First Shift.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. That accident we had in the Lodge southbound before Wyoming, that has cleared. We're looking at some delays on 996 eastbound between Kensington Road and Beck Road. Southbound 75 before North Line, right shoulder block there. And just as a heads up, Hines Drive between Outer Drive and Ann Arbor Trail, that is closed. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, partly sunny, a chance of snow showers in the morning, a high near 30. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 23. And then Tuesday, partly sunny, breezy, but a high in the upper 40s. Right now, it's overcast and 22 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center
Colors Detroit at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining in at me now is Oakland County Commissioner Tim Grimmel, who represents Auburn Hills, but he is also a Democratic candidate for the 29th House seat here in the state of Michigan.
We've seen the state move in what I think is the completely wrong direction. Across country, we've seen the middle class and working families under attack, and that's just true here in Michigan as it is anywhere else. So we've seen our governor try to shift the tax burden from big corporations to the rest of us. He started taxing our seniors' pensions. He's reduced the earned income tax credit. He's weakened the workers' compensation system. He's cut unemployment benefits, and he's cut education funding.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Hello, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It is 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. State Representative Harvey Santana is my guest. Feel free to join us, by the way, 888-552-3595. Harvey, let's just close the door on this conversation about regulating mixed martial arts here in the state of Michigan. My concern, as I've seen happen, and this isn't even about partisanship, I've seen this just happen so many times, all of a sudden a young man is going to die from one of these bouts, and then everybody's going to overreact, then they're going to overregulate, and then they're going to kill an industry that doesn't need to be killed. So isn't it just smart to do something? Again, we've got legislation from other states that we can certainly incorporate. We do have legitimate MMA promoters here in the state of Michigan, right, who I'm sure would like to contribute to this legislation.
Absolutely.
And would be glad to do that and glad to testify on it. So isn't it just smart that, you know, again, you know, this kind of breaks one of my rules. You know, you and I have talked about this. This doesn't really create jobs, and it's not really where we should be. But at the same time, it's also one of those issues that this could be dangerous. I mean, anybody that's ever seen mixed martial arts, listen, it's a legitimate sport. It's happening. It's worldwide. We better take it seriously. And I don't know how many states are regulating it, but if we're one of them that's not, we need to.
Yes, and you're absolutely correct. And a couple of things. One, I think that this industry does promote jobs, because if you stop to think about it, any time a promoter has to rent out the Palace of Auburn Hills, that promotes jobs because people are not working on a night where otherwise nothing would have happened. You got people traveling to the state of Michigan to fight, so it's promoting our tourism industry, and it just goes down from there in terms of the induced demand. We don't have, I believe, the type of regulations that other states have. I don't want to overregulate something to the point where we drive it into extinction. So let's look at it. Let's have a decent conversation. Take emotion out of it. Put your emotions in a box. Look at it, and let's figure this thing out so it's right and protects everyone involved.
So where do we go from here? I mean, do you guys have anything scheduled? Are you still in study session?
Ongoing discussion. You know, basically the poll is in Senator Robertson's court. He's holding Senate Bill 808, and Dave Ageman has Senate Bill 40 or House Bill 4295. And internally, the Republicans are having the discussions about what to do with the bill. They approached me because they thought, well, maybe you can help. And so I've tried to help in the discussion and framing the discussion and talking about what I think the concerns are, you know, to have a good piece of legislation that we can all be proud of.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. And I'm sure that you'll let us know when something breaks on that.
Absolutely.
I had said before the break, and I think that anybody watched the news a couple of weeks ago. First of all, let me tell you that as a Michigander, you know, I often say on the show, and I'm not certainly the first one to say it, nor did I coin the phrase, but as Detroit goes, so goes Michigan. Harvey, we have had a spate of heinous attacks on children and people in the city of Detroit over the last month, unlike I think we've seen in many, many years, if ever. When a 9-month-old baby is shot to death just being in their home, when young people can't even go outside their homes without fear, heck, they can't even be inside their homes without fear of dying. Herbie, what does that say about what's happening in the city that can't protect itself?
That we're in trouble. Quite frankly, we're in trouble, you know, and I say this to all the community meetings that I go to, and I say this to everyone when this conversation comes up. I says, look at here. If you're 40, if you've been living in your neighborhood for 40 years and you've worked, you've retired, you've gone through wars for this country, and you've paid off your house, and you're scared to walk out on your front porch, then you done lost control of your community. Anytime a 15-year-old, a 17-year-old can organize more people and more money than you, you've lost control of your community. I go to community meetings all the time, and it's hard to get people to pay $15 to pay a yearly community association fee. But yet you've got 15-year-olds running around, you know, selling dope at all hours of the day, terrorizing the community. And it's time for the people to stand up and say, look, I'm not going to take this no more. That's it. I'm tired. It stops right here. You know what? I got involved with the Detroit 300 2 years ago, because Raphael Johnson, who ran for city council, made the top 18. You know, he decided to form this as a response to the tragic rape of that 86-year-old woman.
Yeah.
And so he mobilized the community. And from that point, him and Angelo Henderson, another radio show host, formed this organization, and it's strictly volunteer. And what happens when things like this happen, we go against people. We go after people who commit crimes against the elderly, against women and children. And this fits that category, you know, Delrick Miller. You know, this street, Greenview Street, is the street next to mine. This hit close to home, Tony. I mean, and so I looked at it and I says, look, as a state representative, I got a job, but I have extended responsibilities. It's my responsibility as a community person, as a person who lives on, you know, in this neighborhood, to go out there and do my best to bring this person, this baby killer, as we call him, to justice. You know, what was it that drove this individual to climb out of a gray minivan at 4 o'clock on a Monday morning and unload an AK-47 37 times into a home? 37 times, Tony, into a home at 4 o'clock in the morning. Who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? I mean, are you fully thinking this through? Obviously, you're not. And that's what we're dealing with. You know, Tony, I belong to another program called RealityCheck.org. And what we do is we take young people, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, and we try to get them back into the fold and let them realize that you are still a child. You know what the most frustrating part is? It's harder to break these kids. Every class, it's harder to break these kids. because they've become so desensitized to some of the things that they're experiencing and what they see.
How's this happening?
Look at the parents, Tony. Look at the parents. You got parents, and I got Chris with me here in the studio who taught high school, and he'll tell you. You got parents who have ejected themselves from their children's lives. They have to remove themselves. It is your responsibility, not the teacher's responsibility, to raise your child. And so anytime you have young people giving birth to children and not taking responsibility for these children, and these children end up like the assailant of this nine-month-old child named Derek Miller, we have a problem. I don't care how many cops you put on the street. I don't care how many squad cars you put on the street. Until parents and the community take responsibility for what's around them and stop, you know, complaining, then, hey, then we can make a difference.
You know, it's interesting that we're having this discussion. I remember, and it wasn't that long ago, that I read this book about gangs and how it fills that sense of family. And I thought, what a simplistic idea. That can't be it. But it is. This idea that we don't have anything that we feel connected to. And so whatever that infrastructure is that comes along, no matter how despicable it might be or how wrong it might be or how hateful it might be, it is something that I don't have.
Look, Tony, people join gangs with one of three reasons. One, because they want to make some money, or they think that this gang is going to provide them the opportunity. Because they want to feel that sense of family because they're not getting it in their home, and for protection.
All right, let's pick it up after the break. Harvey Santana, my guest. Wow, this is an important discussion. We will get to it on the other side. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We have an accident 696 westbound before Cousins. It's on the right shoulder. It's causing some Gawker delays. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast of the National Weather Service today, partly sunny, a high near 30, some snow showers this morning as well. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the lower 20s. And then Tuesday, partly sunny, a high from around 47 degrees. To be breezy as well with gusty winds out of the south. Right now it's overcast and 22 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. While President Barack Obama may have received the most headlines from his speech at the United Auto Workers Conference last week, he wasn't the only one receiving applause. One of the most outspoken members of the Occupy movement, Jesse LaGreca, spoke on a panel and addressed the need for unions to get outside of their safety zone and get out and talk to people who aren't in a union.
It's so important to go to the people who aren't in the labor movement and explain to them, you know, when we do better, you do better too. When my neighbor's home is protected, my home value goes up. I know this is hard to understand for some people, but it's pretty obvious. So we need to look in that communal sense, that we're all part of one great community.
LaGreca, who writes as Ministry of Truth at DailyCoast.com, became one of the many faces of Occupy Wall Street when he appeared in a Man on the Street video, clearly articulating the demands of the 99%. He echoed those statements while speaking at the conference.
What we're looking at right now is the total repeal of the 20th century, tearing down everything working class people have fought for, we've been beaten for, we've been arrested for, all of these rights, they want to take that away. So the easiest thing you can do is literally go into your communities and express them the values that you hold, that I care about my country and I'm here to fix it.
He told the audience that there is a very simple first step when it comes to starting change within the country, voting.
The only way that we can counter the corrosive power of corporate funding and democracy is to get our boots on the ground. That's the only way to do it. So if you want to win this fight for the future, you have to show up in November. It's your absolute duty. But above and beyond that, also explaining to other people why you're so passionate about this.
While encouraging people to vote, LaGreca also told the conference that the candidates they elect matter more than the party they are in.
I think it's so important that we elect politicians who are going to work for working class people, not for the special interest that own them. And if we start there, that's where the future begins.
The Republican Party could be single-handedly starting the fourth wave of feminism in the United States. On Friday, faced with legislation on both national and state levels intent on rolling back gains women have made in equality over the last century, an unprecedented number of organizations announced they would be uniting to form the Her Votes Coalition. 51 national women's organizations are taking part. They said the goal of the new coalition is to protect the gains women have made in the workplace, healthcare, education, and basic individual rights, and to continue moving forward an equality agenda.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Now time to punch back in.
And the time goes by quickly, 35 minutes after 7 o'clock. State Representative Harvey Santana, my guest. Before we go any further, we're going to talk more about the Detroit 300 and what's happening in the city of Detroit. Harvey, you've got a fundraiser coming up on Wednesday, April 4th, 2012, for your reelection campaign. I just, very quickly, I want to send people to votesantana.com. We'll get this up on the Facebook page, votesantana.com. Or if they would like to go, they can just call 734-657-4710. That's 734-657-4710. Or they can send an email at ssantana4rep@yahoo.com. ssantana4rep@yahoo.com. Quite an impressive list on your host committee, sir.
Yeah, we've been working. We've been working hard and asking for people's support. And we've been getting it. And I'd rather have support from the community to come in and support my efforts, because when the community supports you, you know you're on the right track.
Well, you know, one of the realities of running for any political office is it does take money.
Yep.
So we're not hiding it. In fact, we were having this discussion during the break, and we don't need to justify this. Listen, Harvey's a good friend of this program. He's a friend of mine. I want to see him reelected. Folks, you want to see him reelected. That takes money. So if you would like to go to his fundraiser, again, we're going to get this all up on the Facebook page. It's on Wednesday, April 4th, and, you know, hopefully I'm up and about from surgery, and I'll be able to be there.
So absolutely.
Looking forward to that. Okay, back to this Detroit 300. I said to you during one of the earlier breaks today that the first time, this was months ago, I saw a press conference with Detroit 300, I wasn't sure if I should be frightened or if they should be respected. And then I said, I'm not so sure that there should be a difference. Maybe I should both be a little frightened and respect them. Your thoughts on that?
Well, in my neighborhood, fear and respect are the same thing. You know, the fact of the matter is, and this is why I'm a member of Detroit 300. This is why I'm good friends with Raphael, because we stand for something. I don't like being part of an organization that is just there for the purposes of being there. We stand for something. We stand for taking back the community. We stand for protecting women, babies, and senior citizens. We stand for taking back our community. You know, you've seen movements somewhat like this in the past, and they tend to die off. I don't think Detroit 300 is going to die off anytime soon or in the so distant future. People are just fed up. You know, we go out on patrol. And
in fact, yesterday, tell the audience how many people showed up.
Oh, my God. We had close to 62 cars in the caravan is what we had. And we had close to 150 people, north of 100 people, mostly men who are just tired, sick and tired of seeing what is happening in our society and in our community. And we're drawing a clear line of demarcation that says no more. It stops right here. That's it. You mess up, we're coming after you. We're going to make sure that you get brought to justice. And so every meeting I go to, every time something like this happens, this is the response that is given to the perpetrators of these types of crimes.
Well, people, of course, we talked a little bit earlier about parents. Certainly parents need to step up. But, you know, so much of this, Harvey, is they have nothing. They have absolutely nothing to draw on. They have no other experience but what they know. And I don't know how to break that cycle. You know, Stephen Henderson at Detroit Free Press yesterday did a piece on the lack of, when we have the problems we're having, it's just about lack of leadership. And I would agree with that. I think Detroit 300 is filling that leadership gap. Call it what you want to, fear it, respect it, whatever. it takes leadership to do what Detroit 300 is doing. It takes courage to do what Detroit 300 is doing. And this isn't about being a tough ass and a hard ass. And it's about doing what's right for your community. And there are people stepping up to do that. And we need to make sure that, you know, and you're one of them. I mean, that's about leadership. It's about having a vision. It's about understanding what it takes. Listen, I'm not suggesting that you're taking your life into your hands by going in this caravan as you did yesterday, because that's not what's happening. At the same time, that presence is important, because just that presence yesterday, I'll bet you stopped at least one crime.
Well, let me tell you something. The presence of us knocking on doors, running, you know, walking through the streets with a bullhorn, telling people who we are, why we're out there, giving them information. The most frustration I see in the eyes of the citizens is that they can't give us that one piece of information that's going to crack the case. They truly want to help, because either they've got an abandoned house next door or across the street, or they're tired of the young people going out there and messing things up, or just disrespecting them, this, that, or the other. And so when we're out there, we get tips all the time, Tony. I mean, we get out there and there'll be a guy that's driving by like, oh, man, I know who you're looking for. You, if you go over to this corner over there, they're out there at this time of day, and they're going to be in this type of car. And that's the type of, you know, citizen input that we require in order to give that to the police, so the police can go back and do what they got to do. And, you know, whereas people don't want to talk to the police, they might be more willing to talk to us, because we're like them. We're from the community. And I take my state rep hat off, and I just go into Harvey, the community activist stage. And that's part of what we do. This is part of what we stand for. And that's why I'm so very proud to either swear people in as members, or go out there on patrol in my combat boots and my military fatigues.
No, I know one thing for sure. Of course, being a state rep is something I know you take very seriously and you take personally, but I know priority number one for you is your community.
That's right.
Not your title.
No.
I know that for sure. Listen, we were talking just a minute ago about you know, the fundraiser coming up on April 4th and how important it is that people come out to support you, because, you know, listen, it takes money to do what you do to run for reelection. But let's talk a little bit about the future of elections here, both in the state of Michigan and nationally. First of all, we've got the primary in August, and I'm sure you don't have a primary opponent and won't, do you?
I don't know yet. We haven't seen anything yet.
And I can't imagine that you will, not on the Democratic side. And But let's talk about that. You, again, have done something, and you did this quite a few months back on the show. You're actively recruiting people.
Yeah.
You're taking this really seriously, more seriously than I've ever seen an elected person ever take the process. Why, Harvey? Why is that so important to you?
Tony, because the term limits. You know, we've got 3 2-year terms that we can serve, so a total of 6 years. And what I've recognized,
and this would be your second of 3 years, three terms. Okay.
Yes, right. And so I'm running for my second term. And so what I've recognized is that this is an extremely complicated business. Okay, there are several layers to this. There's the appropriation side and how you manage the state's money, you know, the people's money. How do you get the services for that? Then how do you look at public policy? And what you see is that when you got one party control, as we do here with the Republicans, they're just jamming through legislation. There's never any considerable amount of discussion or consideration given to the other side's viewpoints on things. We tell them, look, this is going to be bad. They say, so what? It's our ideology, and they move it forward. And so I see that, and my job is, if I see talent, I'm going to recruit that talent. If I see someone who has what it takes to organize people and organize money and to do a good job, then it's my job as a state rep, as a team member, to get that person, mold that person, shape that person, say, look, this is where all the landmines are, and don't do this. Do this. That was done to me. I have, to my benefit, Representative Jimmy Womack, who has taken me under his wing. He says, Harvey, this is how the world works, okay? If you do this, this is what's going to happen. And you know what? You have a price to pay for your personality. You know, when you make certain comments or you make certain decisions or say certain things, there are consequences for that. I just want you to be perfectly clear as to what happens. And so there's times where he just holds me back and says, okay, Don't go that far, okay? And so, but that's what you need. And so, because it was given to me, it's not my responsibility to give to someone else. And I've taken David Kinesic, who's running for the 11th district, under my wing.
Right.
He was just at the house over the weekend. We were going over everything, and I was showing him how the game gets played, and what he needs to be doing, where he's focusing on his attention to. And so, when you get there, he has a running start. He knows, you know, who's there, what the dynamics are, what the institutional history is. That way, when we get there, if something happens to me, he's off and running. He knows what to do.
Well, you know, you bring that up, and you just reference it. One of the things, I'm not a fan of term limits. And I wasn't then. I'm not now. I never will be. I'm always disappointed when I look at the poll numbers that show that the majority of Michiganders are still in love with term limits, and I don't get it. They don't understand. The one thing we really lose is institutional memory. And people, I guess, they just don't understand, Harvey, in the bigger picture what that means. You do. You're sitting here chomping at the bit to respond to that. Go ahead.
We were at a lunch with Congressman John Dingell, and Chris asked Congressman Dingell a question. And it was funny. I'll do my best John Dingell impression. And when Chris asked him, you know, about this issue, John Dingell says, back in 1954, that issue was raised. And what happened was, and he goes into this long explanation, but the guy had a memory of an elephant.
Yeah,
I mean, point by point, who was in the room, why the issue failed, who was the biggest advocate, who was the staunchest, you know, opposer to it. But you need that, you know, and so I realized this. I had a conversation with Congressman Conyers about a year ago. I says, you know what? I know why we need an 80-year-old congressman walking through the halls of Congress. He says, why? And I said, because you guys are the only ones that know how the place works. I mean, you guys let go of the place, it falls apart.
Yeah. You know, and I say this as a compliment, but I ask it as a question. You love politics, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the pugilistic in it, you know.
You want to be a politician.
I want to be an elected official. You know, a politician
okay.
is
nice way to
you know, that. I like the fact that the people put faith in me. I like the fact that people say, you know, this is the guy we want to go into battle for us. This is the guy that we want to represent our beliefs. You know, the politician, now I don't even know what that word means anymore. I just think it means that people get elected and engage in the sport of politics and deal with each other in the way they know how. I guess that's the definition of it. But being an elected official is something, it's just an honor beyond honors.
Well, we are out of time for today. I liked today's conversation.
Thank you. I liked it too. It was
pretty
good.
Thank you, Representative. I appreciate it.
All righty.
I'll see you on April 4th. I'll see you actually next month, and we'll talk. As always, a pleasure. Okay, folks, we got to get to the break. We'll be back. Occupy Detroit on the other side. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar.
Well, you seem shocked by it. Yes. This is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift,
John Zerlag, the city manager of Troy, joins us now.
Oftentimes, it's important to just, you know, not when someone slams you, not to actually make a slam back. Because I really believe that hostility is a sign of weakness. But essentially, to just set the record straight, it's important for the voting public and the businesses to know what the facts are in the matter. So if someone builds a false argument and then draws a conclusion, itself becomes faulty because the underpinning rationale is faulty.
First Shift with Tony Trina on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. And indeed it is that time. And joining us, or I should say back with us, is Lee Geddes with Occupy Detroit. A great topic today. And Lee, a happy Monday morning to you, my friend. How you doing today?
Happy Monday, Tony. I'm doing fantastic. Thank you.
Well, that's great. You know, I got to tell you, you know, I get my topics, you know, my daily topics for Occupy, and every now and then I'll get, not that I don't find them all interesting, because I do, but every now and then I'll get one of those and I'll go, this is juicy, and this is one of those that I go, this is juicy, and, you know, it's really about the future of who we see running for office. You know, interestingly, we just had State Representative Harvey Santana on the show, who is one of those rare state representatives that, you know, just wears it on his sleeve. You know exactly who he is and exactly what he stands for and exactly what he wants to see happen. And he's willing to show up and stand up and fight for those things that are right and just the right kind of guy. But, you know, they're not all like Harvey Santana, Lee. So how do we go out and find these people to serve us, whether it's at the local level or the state level or beyond for that matter?
Yeah, well, you know, and that's the conversation that we're having, that Occupy Detroit is doing right now through our outreach committee, is that we're having conversations in the community about what type of leadership does the community want, and can we get people that will be willing to be trained to move into these positions, right? If we can have honest conversations about what the problems are in the community and what are the types of leaders that we need to send to Lansing and to Wayne County, and to City Council, and to the mayor's office, and to the school boards, and to the library boards, and to the police commission, you know, what representation do we want that's from the communities that they are supposedly supposed to serve, right? So that conversation is what part of our spring campaign is about. Our spring offensive is to go out to these communities, have our listening campaigns where we listen to the needs of the community and then try to address those issues about leadership.
Well, and I think
there's a lot of really smart people that don't want to run for office because of the way the system is set up now.
And I think it's important, you know, I love the conversation because I you know, it's critical. nobody says, you know, let's literally go out into the community and ask people who do you want? Not a name. If we were to sketch together, if we were going to profile who you want representing you, what does that look like? And I would venture to guess, Lee, that most people have never been asked that question. That doesn't mean, though, that they don't have an opinion, because God knows they do.
Yeah, and that's the amazing thing. We have people that run for office, you know, perpetual office holders that just rotate from one department to another, and they've never come and asked the community that they supposedly represent. What do they want? You know, they only come out during an election year, you know, when they want to get reelected. Then you'll see them everywhere. But in the meantime, when they're passing policy, when they're sitting in that chair making those decisions, supposedly for that community, they never ask the community about the policies that they're voting on. You know, and so we need to change that formula. We need to start first with asking the community, you know, what type of person do you want to send to office? You know, and that's every office, you know, and there are other offices that aren't highlighted, you know, that aren't as glamorous, you know, but are still just as important.
On Saturday, Lee, I gave an address in Kalamazoo, and it was to the U.S. Steelworkers Union. And one of the things that I said to them is that they all needed to do, you know, and I tell this to every audience I speak to, but it's an important message that no matter how much you think you're doing, there's always more that needs to be done, and therefore you need to expect more of yourself and do more. And I had a woman walk up to me afterwards and say, you know, I not only do I agree with what you said, but I've taken it seriously. She's running for a locally elected office. She decided that, yeah, it was one thing to complain about it, quite another thing to stand up and then do something about it. And she, of course, is doing it. I'm very proud that she is doing that. You know, the same people that are saying, Lee, you know, I want it to look like this, can also be the same people that should step up and fill that void as well.
Yeah, and they need to know that they have support, that the community will wrap their arms around them and help them, you know, move the needle forward, right? So we need to, as a community, make some really conscious decisions about the type of leadership that we have now, who do we need to replace, and what type of skills do these people need moving forward, and can we get them those skills? You know, community-based leadership is definitely something that we are grooming, that we are encouraging, and people need to know that when they step out there, when they take that chance, that they have a support system behind them to get them the resources that they need to make those right decisions, whether it be, you know, advice, whether it be grassroots, you know, door knocking, you know, whatever they need, you know, and training. But there's a lot of training going on, you know, because a lot of people feel, well, I don't know what to do. Well, we can take care of that problem too, you know. And so educating the community around what the issues are, you know, and listening to what their problems are, so that we can solve for their problems, not for something that's made up, you know, from talking points, you know.
Absolutely. Well, you know, again, I just think it's so critical that we continue to have these kinds of discussions, because there are good people. You said, you know, one of the critical components of this is, of course, supporting these people, and whatever way that has to manifest itself. You know, listen, we might hate money in politics, and we all do, and you and I would, of course, love to see publicly financed campaigns. That would be the best way to do this. It would be the most honest way to do it, but we're not there yet. So, Lee, that means that if we've got to play by their rules to some extent, then we need to make sure that we support those candidates that need to be supported. If that means giving $5 or $10, folks, you need to give $5 or $10.
And that's the reality of it, you know. And again, you know, having these discussions gives the community a better understanding of where they're at and what they can do. And our whole job is to empower these local communities. And that's what we're here for.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, you know, from personal experience, there is nothing more empowering, truly, there's nothing more empowering than investing, literally financially investing into your candidate and that candidate winning. You really do feel a sense of victory that is different than just that person winning. Seriously, there's a whole different feel. Lee, we're just out of time for today. Great conversation, and thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Tony. It's a pleasure as always.
You bet. Appreciate your leadership, and we will talk again very soon. A quick break here. When we come back, Mark Brewer is with us. Christine Berry from Blogging for Michigan will join us for Blog Roll as well. Where is this day going? My friends at the U.S. Steelworkers Union, God bless you. And thank you for your wonderful support on Saturday. Let's take the break. We'll come back and get it done on the other side.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We do have some problems out there on the freeways right now. That accident, 696 westbound before Cousins, has cleared, but traffic is still backed up to Mound. Southbound 75 between 12 Mile and 8 Mile. You're going to find delays there, too. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, partly sunny. A high near 30 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 23. And then Tuesday, partly sunny, breezy, a high near 47. Right now, it's overcast and 22 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Paul Chambers. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor says it again. On CNN this morning, he endorsed Mitt Romney in the race for the Republican presidential nomination.
We've got to do something to get us back on track, and Mitt Romney is the only person in the race who's ever created a job. He is the one who understands how to run a business, how to get the fiscal affairs of the country straight so we can start growing the economy.
Cantor represents a district in Virginia, one of 10 states deciding the GOP nomination on Super Tuesday. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu meets with President Obama in Washington today. At the heart of the discussions will be Iran and what to do about its nuclear program. CNN's Brianna Keeler reports the U.S. wants to ensure that Israel does not take any military action against Iran at this time.
Certainly, the U.S. has more capability, and so there's this question of if Israel did want to go it alone and not rely on the U.S., they might pursue a military option sooner than the U.S., but you can see how the tension kind of builds into this really this gap between President Obama and Netanyahu and how the two countries are trying to find a solution to this.
Netanyahu will meet with Obama at the White House before speaking at the AIPAC conference later in the day. The fast-moving tornadoes that hit on Friday killed 39 people in five states. The latest victim, an Indiana toddler who had become a symbol of hope. Angel Babcock survived after being thrown into a field 100 yards from her home. She was taken off life support Sunday. A tragic ending to the search for a four-year-old boy in New Mexico. His body was found Sunday morning at the bottom of a 30-foot deep hole in a neighbor's backyard. An Amber Alert was issued for the boy the night before. Gas prices are up the 27th consecutive day. The new national average, $3.77 a gallon. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
At Walmart, you can save on prescriptions right where you save on everything else. Want to see for yourself? Take the Walmart Challenge. Switch to the Walmart Pharmacy for 1 month and compare prices to your old pharmacy. And ask your local Walmart pharmacist about their huge list of $4 generic prescriptions. Transferring is simple. Just bring in your prescription pill bottle or written prescription, and they'll take care of the rest. So give it a shot. With a healthy dose of low prices, you'll be feeling better in no time. Save money. Live better. Walmart.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. We're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free, get two free gifts, and free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-2829. That's 1-800-644-2829.
A group of tens of thousands of people and businesses, likely the largest collective plaintiff to sue following the Gulf oil spill 2 years ago, has reached a settlement with BP, $7.8 billion. That's just over half the amount many analysts had predicted, so investors are treating it like it's good news for BP. Shares up in early trades. It likely will be Thursday when the Enbridge oil pipeline will reopen, as after a deadly auto accident over the weekend in which two vehicles hit an above-ground section of the pipeline near Chicago. The shutdown squeezes an already constrained pipeline system between Canada and the U.S. Stock in the now completely integrated United Continental Airlines could indicate investor confidence the carrier has its hiccups behind it. It threw the switch on a new computer system integrating the long independent United and Continental systems over the weekend. Result was long lines, confused ticket agents, and multiple missed connections. Stock futures down, S&P futures losing 5. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
I've been riding since I was 17. Flat out my whole life. Had some medical issues. Then I was prescribed one drug one place, another somewhere else. United Healthcare saw I could be in real trouble if I had taken both drugs together. They spotted the danger, and United Healthcare warned my pharmacist in time. We only get one shot, and I want to leave this life exhausted.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not bad from Account Temps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Account Temps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Account Temps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the sandstorms of the Mojave Desert, nor the dust and dirt of a Texas rodeo, nor the glare of the bright lights of Broadway can keep you from having the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for the mature eye care professional.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Trubiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back to this Monday, March 5th, 2012 program. Tony Trupiano with you on a fast morning it's been. And a fast weekend we had. I was fortunate to be joined, by the way, by Carla Swift, president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, on Saturday to be in Kalamazoo at the U.S. Steelworkers U.S. Steelworkers Union Regional Conference, Region 2, which is Michigan and parts of Wisconsin. And it was just a pleasure to be with those great folks and Director Michael Bolton. And well, hopefully I'll have some time to chat a little bit about that before we get out of here today, but really had a great time. But as we do every week at this time, it's time for us to turn to the chairman. So if you would, Jeff, order up an intro and let's get rocking.
The Michigan Democratic Party chairman, Mark Brewer.
Well, they're partying on Mackinac Island this weekend. The fate of our school kids, our police and firefighters, our unemployed is hanging in the balance. But do the Republicans care about that? No. They'd rather party on the island than get their job done in Lansing.
It's time for Monday Mornings with Mark Brewer.
And joining us now, of course, is the chairman himself. Captain, my captain, as always, a pleasure to have you on, and I can't think of a better way to start our week than with you. How are you doing today?
Doing fine, Tony. Good to be with you again.
Again, a pleasure to have us. Well, you know, I kind of need to go back to last week because there's a lingering issue, Mark, in that that lingering issues kind of multifold. So I'm going to take it one step at a time. And let's talk about, again, the primary. Mitt Romney, of course, was supposed to get the big coronation on Tuesday night. Wednesday should have been this big celebration, and it would have propelled him to great things moving forward. But, Mark, not so fast. Things did not quite go as well as, well, not only Mitt Romney thought, but many others.
No, that's right, Tony. I mean, people need to understand the background here. The Republican Party and Mitt Romney have been planning last week's primary for over a year. You know, they put that primary on that date over our objections. We didn't want to waste the money. They put it on that date because that was supposed to be where Mitt Romney comes home to Michigan and clinches the nomination, right? Everybody in Michigan supports him. He's got the money. He's got the endorsements. He's got the organization. This is the crowning achievement. Well, as Rick Perry once said, oops, something happened on the way to the coronation. A lot of things happened. You know, Rick Santorum came out of nowhere. I mean, this is a guy, Tony, who nobody in Michigan even knew 3 weeks out and still barely knew last week. And this, Santorum comes within 3 points, of upsetting Mitt Romney on his home turf with all of these advantages and really through the race, I think, frankly, you know, for another loop. And we'll just have to see how tomorrow plays out. But it was, it was a very embarrassing day. If you look at it in perspective, for not only Mitt Romney, but for the Republican establishment here, that they could barely deliver Michigan for their guy.
Well, let's talk about the Republican establishment here in the state of Michigan for a moment. Mark, are they playing by the rules? Are they creating their own rules? Are they creating their own rules as they it fits the situation? I'm having a difficult time understanding the delegate count now. Did they split? Did they cheat? What's going on here, Mark?
Oh, yeah. No. Then it gets worse, Tony. Not only do they barely win, but as Romney's people are fond of saying, it's all about the delegates. Okay, let's look at the delegates. And the way their rules worked, they evenly split the delegates. So now you got Mitt Romney barely winning the popular vote, but actually in a tie when it comes to delegates. Huge victory for Santorum. And that was the way it was election night, way it was Wednesday, but then all of a sudden on Thursday, a committee stacked with Romney supporters says, oh, we misinterpreted our own rules, and we've actually got to award an extra delegate to Romney that we're going to take away from Santorum, which gives Romney a majority of the delegates. But, and you and I have had a lot of disagreements with Mike Cox over the years, you know, a lot of things that we've disagreed with him on. But to his credit last week, he was a member of this committee. And he's even a Romney supporter. He voted against it. And he said, look, the rules are the rules. It's a tie. We can't and shouldn't take away this delegate from Santorum. So, Tony, they will even go so far as to 2 days after the election, changing the rules to help their guy.
Okay, well, and again, you're right. There have been a lot of things that we have not agreed with Mike Cox on, and he was on the right side of this issue. Yet they still end up giving Mitt Romney the delegate lead. And now, Mark, not to complicate things any further for the audience, but we do have to mention that now Rick Santorum is threatening legal action against the Michigan Republican Party.
Oh, yeah, this is going to play out for some time. They filed an appeal. Santorum filed an appeal with the Republican National Committee last week. There's a protest scheduled today at Republican Party headquarters in Lansing. And this is another split, Tony, between the elite, the establishment of the Republican Party, and frankly, the social conservatives and the Tea Partiers. They've never really trusted Amy Shostak and the leaders of that party. And this is just going to, you know, give them more proof that they are not to be trusted, that they will, you know, brazenly, blatantly change the rules to benefit their guy. We're gonna see the fallout from this for a long time to come.
Yeah, and there's no question that's true. You know, and it's unfortunate, Mark, because it really does mar the process. And you know, whether you want to believe in the process or not, it is what it is. It's there. So you just kind of have to play by the rules as they're, well, wait a minute. Now, let me check that, because we don't really know what the rules are anymore, do we?
No, Antonio, we all need to remember this and use this because, one, this has happened in other states. There have been vote counting problems in Nevada, in Maine. Remember Iowa, right? Romney wins Iowa. Then a few weeks later, the Republicans say, oops, it was actually Santorum. This is from the same party that drops the phrase voter fraud anytime it suits them. They're always accusing us and progressives and other folks of cheating, changing the rules, voter fraud. They can't even run one of their own internal elections. And we need to make sure people remember that as they continue to throw these accusations at us and accuse us of all kinds of election wrongdoing. They can't even get their own house in order.
Well, you know, Mark, let's remind the audience. So we have a caucus coming up on May 5th. So let's just remind people what a caucus is and what we propose to do on May 5th.
Yeah, a caucus is a party-run election, not at the taxpayer expense, which is what last week's primary was all about. And we're going to hold a caucus to save the taxpayers' money on May 5th. That'll be our process to select our delegates to the National Convention and to renominate Barack Obama. So we welcome people. You don't have to be a party member. You have to be willing to say that you're a Democrat that day. We welcome people to come to our caucuses where they'll get a vote, chance to vote for candidates. And again, our process is open. Tony, today's actually the deadline for any other candidates who want to run against Barack Obama to file. Nobody has filed. I don't expect anybody will. But we're an open party, and if there are others who want to run against Barack Obama to get our nomination, they're welcome to do so. But anyway, on Saturday, May 5th, at various locations around the state, the list will soon be posted on our website, and will be out there, and the local parties will be publicizing them as well. People are welcome to come. They'll start at 11 in the morning, probably get over around noon, if not a little later. Come and democratically vote for who the Democratic nominee for president should be next fall.
Gee, that sounds both simple, doesn't sound like you need a whole lot of rules to do it, and even if there were a couple candidates, it's part of the Democratic process, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. You know, we'll see if anybody files by the end of the day today, but yeah, I think it'll also be a great opportunity to organize. I mean, we expect other candidates for other offices to be there collecting petition signatures. I expect some of these petition drives we're starting to hear about. We'll have folks there. So it's really an organizing opportunity as well as an opportunity to vote.
No question. I think that, you know, I want to encourage everybody, both the Democrats, Republicans, Green Party, whoever you are, to come out and see what democracy really looks like, because it's really kind of an empowering process. And even if you just want to, you know, if you just want to observe, you can come to observe. It's really kind of neat to watch it to play out. And, you know, it's also a great way to see, you know, neighbors in your community. You'd be surprised how many people actually show up to this kind of stuff. And it's going to be really just a fun day. And I'm going to guess that come May 5th, the weather's going to be with us. So it should be a great day. I know I'm very much looking forward to it, as I know you are as well, Mark. And again, the Republicans had an opportunity, by the way, to do exactly what the Democrats are doing, and they just chose to spend $10 million taxpayer dollars to create nothing but controversy and put a cloud over their own process, which is unfortunate to them. You know, Mark, I said earlier on in the show, as we're getting ready to go to the break here, I said it earlier on the show, if I'm a Republican in the state of Michigan right now, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way to Republicans, I'd be frustrated too, because my party seems to be falling apart if I'm a Republican.
Oh, yeah, Tony, and the evidence indicates that. There was exit polling done last week, and Republicans remain very dissatisfied with their field. Even those people who voted for Mitt Romney or Rick Santorum are very unhappy with the field going forward. So, no, you're right. With all this dissension, and they've got an electorate that isn't very happy with the existing candidates.
Absolutely. Mark Brewer, again, my guest. He is chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. We are going to take a very quick break here. Much more to get to when we come back, so everybody stay right where they're at, and we will do just that. Feel free to join us if you'd like, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org and on Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. Let's take the break on 1310 WDTW, and we'll come back and finish it up with Mark Brewer right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now, we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We do have an accident 94 westbound after Kaju. The left lane's blocked there. Traffic is backed up about a mile behind it for right now. Southbound 275 at 994. We have an accident there in the left shoulder. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast of the National Weather Service today, partly sunny, a slight chance of a snow shower, a high near 30. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 23. And then tomorrow, breezy, partly sunny, a high in the mid to upper 40s. Right now, it's overcast and 22 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff, we're going to do a little mock phone call. You up for that?
Sure.
Actually, all you have to do is say, when I pretend like the phone's ringing and you're answering it, just say, hi, this is Senator Johnson's office. Since Bert Johnson happens to be my state senator. So that's all I need for you to do. And I'll take it from there.
All right, I'll see if I got this line down.
Okay. Ring, ring. Apparently not.
You don't answer after the first one. You have to let it go twice.
Ring, ring.
Hi, Senator Johnson's office.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Why are you laughing? Are you going to call laughing?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
All right. So, right.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trubiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, Diggity Dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trubiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trubiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Again, Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, is my guest. MichiganDems.com is the website you want to go to. This Saturday, Mark, March 10th, is an important day for us Democrats here in the state of Michigan. We have the endorsement conventions. Tell us a little bit about what we can expect to happen.
Well, we'll be endorsing candidates for the four statewide education board, Tony, as well as Supreme Court candidates. This is an innovation we adopted last cycle to give these candidates, you know, an early nod that they may well be our nominees in the fall. We still have to officially, legally nominate people in September, but this is a way to, you know, look at the field and say these look like good candidates and give them this kind of official nod to enable them to get out and campaign and raise money and get out there far earlier than they would otherwise be able to. So we're looking forward to a good day on Saturday, a good slate of candidates to endorse as part of our effort to win up and down the ticket this fall.
All right. Well, I mean, it's kind of a unique way to do it, so I can see why you would want to repeat it, because it is, you know, we were talking earlier, you know, Mark, listen, in a perfect world, we wish there were a lot less money in politics. We wish that it didn't take, you know, for some, depending on what seat you're running for, you know, a whole bunch of money. But it does take money, and it does take an organization. And listen, you know, that's part of the process, especially if you're running for a statewide office. You do need a little bit more time. You know, it's a whole lot different running for city council than it is to run for the University of Michigan or Michigan State University Board of Directors. And so you really do need to gear up for this stuff. And again, in a perfect world, it wouldn't take the money and it wouldn't take all that effort, but it does take that. And listen, if we can give people a little bit of a running head start, good for us.
That's absolutely right, Tony. I mean, it is unfortunate. It is a result of Citizens United and a lot of other phenomena, events, that politics has become so expensive. But that's the reality, you know, and we've got to adapt to that and do everything we can to give our candidates an edge and assistance in coping with that reality. And that's what this convention's all about.
All right. Well, let's a couple quick things, and I got a little breaking news, which I'm sure you can help me with. But let me first get to a couple results from last week. Of course, in the 29th House District, very happy to report that Tim Grimmel, who was on our show, did exceedingly well in that election, and of course will proudly represent the people of Pontiac and Auburn Hills immediately, Mark, and congratulations to Tim.
Yeah, it was a great effort that didn't get much notice, but, you know, the party there locally, the state party, Tim, our friends in organized labor and lots of other allies came together, and on Republican primary day, Tony, Tim Grimmel actually ran ahead of the Democratic base in that district. He won before a single vote was cast on Election Day because we got more AV ballots in before Election Day than the entire Republican vote for his opponent. So we're very proud of that effort, and it really is a model for what we need to be doing for special elections in the future.
Yeah, isn't that something everybody wishes they could say, Mark? That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, we're very proud of it. And actually, up in the 51st, where the Paul Scott recall occurred, Steve Losey ran a great campaign. We had a similar cooperative effort, got very close, held his Republican opponent under the Republican base, again, in the face of this, you know, hundreds of thousands of Republicans coming out last week. Steve Losey, though, fell a little short, but we're very proud of his effort. We're proud of the cooperation and the great campaign that was run up there, and we'll take a hard look at taking another run at that seat in the fall.
Well, I understand, and we're actually going to talk about this in our next segment, but I understand that he is taking a serious look at running again in November. And so we're of course, we would on this show encourage him to do that and hope that he will seriously consider taking a look at doing that. Mark, I'm just getting word in, and I'm sure that you know this, that Paul Ryan is coming to Michigan today to stump for Pete Hoekstra.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. Hoekstra, you know, he goes from a Super Bowl ad, which was a disaster. Actually, hurt him in the polls was so bad, Tony. Then he brings in Herman Cain, and he and Herman Cain endorsed the view that the auto rescue was wrong, in addition to all the other terrible things Herman Cain stands for. And now, you know, we've got Paul Ryan coming to the state, the author of the Ryan budget that would end Medicare as we know it. And we estimate that here in Michigan, it would increase for Michigan seniors, their health costs by almost $7,000 a year. And this is a guy today who's coming into campaign for Pete Hoekstra. It tells you all you need to know about Pete Hoekstra.
You know, Mark, Pete Hoekstra's not new to this. I mean, this is just, I find this so curious that he's willing to throw away this race and not even, again, we're not even close to the primary yet, and he's willing to throw this away.
Well, I think what's going on here, Tony, it's a mirror image of what's going on in the presidential race, that Hoekstra has to keep moving further and further and further to the right to appease particularly the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party. You know, so, you know, I think at one point Michelle Bachmann came in for him, and now we got Ryan, we've had Herman Cain, we've had this stream of extremely conservative, out-of-touch Republicans coming in to endorse him because Hoekstra fears being attacked from the right flank. But this is all going to be very bad for him in the general election.
Well, you know, Mark,
positions these people take are just so outside the mainstream that it's going to hurt very badly next fall.
Well, you know, again, this goes back to something we began this interview with. This is this idea that as a Republican today, you don't really know who you are, and all of a sudden you find yourself as a Republican defending something that you don't even know if you support or endorse or agree with. And I don't envy people that are in that position right now, Mark. If I am whatever a traditional Republican means for people anymore, because I don't even know how to define it. And maybe that's the point, Mark, is we don't even know how to define the Republican Party anymore.
That's right. But also, you got to have candidates who are going to have the strength of character, right? To not flip-flop like Mitt Romney's doing, like Pete Hoekstra is doing, you know, just to pander for votes. I mean, you really want people in office who have some character and some integrity. And you know what they stand for, whether you agree with them or not. So Pete Hoekstra is now failing that character and integrity test as well.
Well, I find it interesting, Mark, as Eric Cantor endorsed Mitt Romney yesterday on Meet the Press. I was watching that. I happened to be in Kalamazoo this weekend, so I was actually watching it in the west side of the state, so maybe that was appropriate. But as I'm watching him talk about, you know, Mitt Romney and why he's endorsing Mitt Romney, it occurred to me, for the millionth time it occurred to me, that I'm not sure if they're talking about Mitt Romney or they're trying to still help Mitt Romney define who he is.
Oh, I think it's very much the latter. Very much the latter. I mean, we all know what Mitt Romney stands for. He's had so many different positions on so many different issues, sometimes in the same day, last week, on the Blunt Amendment, which would have, you know, prevented employers from providing contraception. In the same day, Tony, within a few hours, he changed position on that amendment. So we don't know what Mitt Romney stands for. We really don't.
Well, thank God we have the Democratic Party, because we also know what they stand for. Mark, thank you so much for being with us again. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Tony. We'll see you at the convention.
You bet. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Now, when we continue, Christine Berry blogging for Michigan in our blog roll segment right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. There's an accident 94 westbound after Cadieux in the left lane, so expect some delays approaching that. 96 Jeffries eastbound on that ramp to the south field. Expect some delays heading towards that because of an accident blocking a lane on that ramp. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, a chance of snow showers, partly sunny, a high near 30. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the lower 20s. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, a high near 47. Breezy, though. The winds continue on Wednesday. Be partly sunny then, but a high in the upper 50s. Right now, it's overcast and 22 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff sent me a list of tweets in response to Rick Santorum's three victories last night. My favorite one is the very first one from Philip Klein. All these people are Republican strategists or tied to the Republican Party in some way. Philip Klein says, breaking, Ann Romney tells heckler, my husband can't blanking throw the ball and catch it at the same time. I actually laughed out loud, Jeff, when I read that one.
Me too.
That was actually very funny.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
Let's go spelunking in Rick Santorum's head. There, we can probe the inner sanctums of his brain and discover his deepest thoughts. But once inside the Santorum skull, we find that there are no deep thoughts at all in here. only acrid shallows of intolerant fundamentalist theology and the slippery moss of right-wing ideology. This explains why Santorum, whose name, after all, does derive from the same Latin root as sanctimonious, has now come out as the full-throated standard-bearer of the GOP's Christian extremist constituency. Like an angry street preacher of pietistic correctness, he literally sees the devil at work in government policies, liberals generally, and Obama specifically. Obama's environmentalism, he cries out, is phony theology, an attack on God's will that man has total dominion over earth and all things within it. He rejects birth control as the devil's tool for promoting mass promiscuity, and he wails that government must stop funding prenatal checkups, for they're the invention of liberals who are trolling for babies to abort. Indeed, the mere suggestion that an abortion might be legitimate for any reason whatsoever causes an eruption of fetid swamp gas from the narrow creases of Santorum's mind. Even a victim of vicious rape, he preaches, must view her pregnancy as, quote, the gift of human life, and accept what God has given to you. He devoutly intones that although this is a fetus forced on her by the horror of rape, it is her child. This is Jim Hightower saying, not only does such dogmatic fanaticism shape Santorum's worldview, but it would also define his presidency. Forget separation of church and state. He says his own religious doctrine must be enthroned to help shape proper public policy. All hail Santorum, theocrat in chief.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, 35 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. Before we get to our blog roll segment, I want to make sure I mention this because I may not have time. And it's happening today in Ann Arbor and in Ferndale, and I'll give you the specifics in a minute. Dr. Jill Stein, who is a Green Party candidate for the presidency, will be in Ann Arbor from 4 to 6 o'clock this afternoon at Amir's Deli. On South State Street, and will be at AJ's Music Cafe on 9 Mile Road in Ferndale from 7:30 to 10:30. So that's at Amir's Deli from 4 to 6, and at AJ's Music Cafe from 7:30 to 10:30. And Jeff, if I did my homework properly, we tentatively have Dr. Stein scheduled for an interview on Wednesday. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. So we hope to have her on Wednesday. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get her in before she got here, but we've been trying to get her for a while now. So I would imagine as a presidential candidate, she's awfully busy. But anyway, let's get to our intros and we'll get some good stuff done.
Leading the charge for online truth and a vision that transcends the minutiae
and delivers information that impacts us all.
Welcome back to First Shift, this week's blog roll.
First of all, we just would love to have more progressive bloggers anyway, but local progressive bloggers are very important because there's so much happening at city council meetings and boards of commissioners, at the county clerks. I mean, these are people who impact almost every aspect of your life.
From Blogging for Michigan,
Christine Berry.
And joining us now is Christine Berry for our blog roll segment. Now, Christine, first of all, let me say thank you. Here's a virtual hug. Hi, honey. How are you?
Hello.
Virtual hug. Doing? Big hug for Christine.
Big hug.
I'm fine.
I heard you had a great weekend, huh?
I did. I was in Kalamazoo, spoke to the United Steelworkers Union Conference, and it's always awesome to hang out with like-minded people, but you know, a lot of them were from Wisconsin, and you know what those Wisconsin labor people are right? I mean, they're just, they're awesome. They're rabid awesome.
Yeah, you know, God bless them. Isn't it great to just be around that kind of energy and enthusiasm? And
in fact,
it's encouraging, refreshing, fills you right up.
Yeah, you know, Christine, what's amazing is their director of Region 2 is a guy by the name of Michael Bolton. He actually got the Paul Wellstone Award for Civic Activity for protesting, for helping organize the governor Scott recall there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. How many labor leaders step up in that way? I mean, this guy was just amazing. And I was trying to think yesterday. My wife and I were driving back from Kalamazoo, and I'm thinking, you know, who does this guy remind me of? He reminds me of someone, and then I finally just gave up and said, he reminds me of Michael Bolton, because that's who he is. He's just so uniquely him. But there's just something about him that was comforting and warm and gracious and powerful all at the same time. And, yeah, it was an awesome weekend. I really did have a great weekend. Can you believe, Christine, we're now actually starting our third month of Blog Roll?
You know, it's going by very quickly. I keep thinking of things I want to talk about, and I have so many things that we could cover. And then I think, well, I've got to squeeze it down into this tiny segment for Tony's show. And so, yeah, it's really exciting, and I'm really glad that we decided to do this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I hope that your listeners are enjoying it. I don't really hear too much back from them. Every once in a while I'll get an email or something, but I'd like to know what they would like us to discuss, if there's anything in particular, too.
Which is why I brought it up. And so I'm going to let you give out your email address, because they can tell me. But, you know, as I said to you yesterday when we exchanged our little email, this is about what you want to talk about. This isn't what about I can talk about whatever I want to talk about anytime I want. So this is about what you want to do. But you really do want some feedback from the listeners. You really do want some suggestions. So give out your email address, and we'll let people contact you directly.
Sure. They can use my personal email address is christineberry@gmail.com. And, of course, if people don't want to do that, there's the comment section on our daily briefings on bloggingformichigan.com.
Which I love. I got to tell you, you kind of spoiled me one day last week, and I almost hate to do this on air, but you posted really, really early, and I went, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to post earlier, and unfortunately life doesn't always go the way we want it to. So, but I'm trying to get those briefings up by like 5 or 6 in the morning so that people can see them before they run off to work and talk to their colleagues and whatnot. But
no, I enjoy the daily briefing, and I'm glad that you posted. And, you know, certainly, again, thrilled that as we head in our third month of doing this, that things are going well, and I know that we're getting a good response to it. I've had a very positive response and very positive feedback to doing this. So let's talk a little bit about our Red to Blue project, which we will continue to focus on as we work our way through the year 2012 and up till November and beyond. And let's start with, by the way, I want to start with the House District 51. We briefly mentioned that with Mark Brewer, but of course, Steve Losey did well, but just not well enough to take that seat back. But, Christine, from where you're sitting, does that look like something, even though in redistricting it looks maybe too red to some people? Is that a seat that the Democrats, you think, could take?
I think we take that in the fall. Yes, I do. The redistricting makes it slightly more Republican, but I think that you can tell by the numbers from the primary. I'm actually a lot more optimistic about it now. Mark mentioned that the Republican underperformed with his base, but in addition to that, the turnout was just really low. And Steve lost by about 2,000 votes. You know, 800 of those votes that he lost by went to the Green candidate. I think that with the top of the ticket races, we've got President Obama, Senator Stabenow. Steve Losey, if he stays in and he keeps campaigning, is going to have excellent name recognition and an excellent ground game by the fall. I think we could take that race. And, you know, the people have spoken out there. They want to be represented by someone who is not Republican Alec Mackinac, Center Chamber of Commerce.
Well, you know, the reason I'm optimistic about it is I kind of take a look at the geography a little bit, too. And when we look at, I mean, when we take a serious look at that part of the state, Republicans in Genesee are not the same kind of Republicans you would see in Oakland County. I mean, they're not nearly as conservative.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You get a little bit more independent thinking. They're not as socially conservative out there. So it's a little bit more of a swing district with those Republicans. But I still think that all of the technical pieces fall into place for a Democratic candidate as well. And like I said, Steve's already run a race out there. Sure, you know, he missed it by a couple thousand, but that was very close.
Yeah, well, and of course, the Republicans didn't spin it that way. You saw their headlines, right?
oh, yeah, he sweeps the district and every precinct, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah.
I want to know, this is what I want to know. I want to know how the lieutenant governor calls that race with less than 1% of the vote in. I want to know how he does that.
Well, that's how the Republicans count votes. I mean, you see, they do it to Rick Santorum. Why not do it to the Democrats, right? They've been fixing races for years. So I don't think that he necessarily fixed this one, but I really wouldn't be surprised that there's some suppression shenanigans going on out there.
All right. Well, let's take a look at a couple other House districts, and I'll let you start, Ray. We've got two others that we're going to take a look at today. I'll let you decide which one you want to do next.
Well, let's go with the easy one, which is the 55th district. That one, House District 55, is it's the Ann Arbor area. So it splits Ann Arbor, and it has some of the city of Ann Arbor, and it has some of the surrounding townships there. And I really think it's Rick Olson now, a Republican, but I really think that it's going to go to Adam Zemke in the fall. Adam is a Democrat. He does have a primary contender out there, and I mean no disrespect to the other guy, but Adam's the one who really seems to have the traction. He's wrapping up endorsements and contributions. So that race is going to be won in the primary. With the redistricting that the Republicans done, they basically just threw Rick Olson under the bus. So so that's kind of an easy one. That's kind of a punt. But I'd be interested to learn more about Adam's primary challenger. I just don't know that much about him, but Adam has so much momentum right now.
Well, momentum matters. Listen, there are, you know, I've talked to a couple people that are running as Democrats that are also going to have primary challengers, but when you start to talk to them about who that person is, and I do that, you know, when they call me in my office, because a lot of people want to get on the show, and it's really hard for me, especially if somebody has a primary. It's only fair if, let's just say you and I are running for a seat. I would have to have both of us on, Christine. It wouldn't be fair to just have one person on. And so I have a tendency not to do it because, you know, it's just if I have a personal preference, then I'm not playing favorites. And so I would rather, when they have primaries, just leave it alone. And that's just the way I do it. And we've got a little policy, and we kind of stick to it on the show. That's not to say that I don't talk to people because I'm a political animal at the end of the day, and I want to know. And so as people give me information on their opponents and I go online, I start doing, you know, some research, I often find out in races like this, and again, I have no idea who Adam's running against, but, you know, you find out that they're either perpetual candidates, they're always running for something, they love to have their name on the ballot, or they really have absolutely no experience at all. And not that there's anything wrong with that, because everybody's got to start somewhere. But I often find in seats like this and races like this, the other, quote-unquote, the other person, especially when you've got momentum like Adam does, really in the bigger picture doesn't factor in.
Sure. I see that a lot in areas like my county, Shiawassee, as well. You see where you'll have a primary with a candidate who's really only there to represent a particular issue. For example, in Shiawassee, a lot of the Democrats will run as, you know, they'll be anti-choice. So you'll end up with a Democrat no one's ever heard of just because she's the pro-choice candidate. She'll end up taking about 1,000 votes.
All right. Christine Barry, my guest, blogging for Michigan and ChristineBarry.com. And that's B-A-R-R-Y, by the way. And we are going to take a quick break. House District 19 when we continue, and we'll wrap it up all on the other side. This is First Shift. I am Tony Trupiano, and you are listening to 1310 WDTW.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. Recently on First Shift,
Brandon Jessup, the CEO of Michigan Forward.
If this came easy, it wouldn't be worth it. And to fight a law that's as erroneous as this, that stinks the way this law does, the law that puts dictators over communities, somebody's got to stand up to that. And we're glad Michigan Forward, ASPE Council 25, the Michigan Education Association, we're all glad to stand up and say, hey, we said something about this law, and we put it on the ballot for justice to decide on which way this thing goes.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
First word, first thoughts, first with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes left before we get out of here. And let's do it. Let's get it done, because we got a lot to get fit into that little bit of time. Christine Berry with Blogging for Michigan is with us. She's also now a regular fixture on the show with Chris Savage. It's called Blog Roll, folks. And if you would like to, if you'd like to get more involved in what it is we do in this segment, well, send Christine an email, and it's Christine Berry. That's with an A, Berry with an A at gmail.com. We talked about one more House seat we wanted to get in before we let you go today, and that's House District 19, Christine.
Yep, this is a tough one for sure. This one is in Livonia. It's represented by John Walsh right now, and he's pretty solid there. But I think that this is doable if we have a really good bottom-up kind of candidate, maybe somebody who is working their way up locally to school boards or to the councils, that kind of thing. I don't think this is going to be a top-down seat for us. Nobody's going to win by anybody's coattails here. President Obama barely won that district. So I think that we could do it, but it's going to require a lot of things falling into place and a really rock-solid candidate for us. But it's important for us to get a candidate in there now, Tony, because even if we weren't to take this seat this year, John Walsh is termed out next time around. And somebody who runs a solid campaign this year is going to make some pretty productive inroads for the 2014 race.
Well, you know, and it's important, as I have said, again, I even said it when I spoke in Kalamazoo this weekend, that once we get through the 2012 campaign, that's the beginning of where the real hard work begins. It's not the end of anything, but the beginning of the next step. And in order for us to truly get our democracy back, we need to understand that what we do in 2012 is the foundation for what we have to do moving forward, which makes the Red to Blue project and the 83-county project important. Let's talk about the 83-county project, because we still need lots more bloggers.
We do. But the 83 County Project, as I hope your listeners know by now, is where a group of bloggers are trying to cultivate local bloggers in each of the 83 counties in Michigan. And we are targeting each county for two bloggers, but, you know, there's going to be counties that have more than that. Some counties, you know, probably be represented by one blogger. But we need to get bloggers out there and train them on how to find out what's going on at city council meetings, you know, animal control, the sheriff's departments, everything, and get that news out into the public. And, you know, especially with blogs on the Internet, everyone can go to it and see it. It's not restricted by any sort of pay subscriptions or anything like that. So it's important. And it's in, when you're a blogger, you're an activist, Tony, and it's really easy to get into this business, to just get started blogging about what's going on out there. So we want to help these people get started, give them some guidance, give them a community to interact in, and hopefully make Michigan a better place because of it.
Yeah, there's no question that's true. And I have to tell you, there's a lot of people out there. It's been more on the conservative than on the liberal side, but there are a lot of people out there that have actually ended up making a pretty decent living as bloggers. So, folks, if you take it seriously, serious things can happen. I'm not promising you that's going to happen, but you know what? I will promise you this. The more involved you get, the more of an agent of change you become, and I can't even begin to tell you how empowering that feels, because it does feel awfully empowering. Christine, as always, never enough time, but it always feels great to be with you. We'll look forward. Actually, 2 weeks from now, I'll be off. But by the way, and I want to say, you've been, and Christine and I have talked off air about my surgery, my upcoming bariatric surgery. Christine was incredibly supportive and continues to be incredibly supportive, and I want to thank you for that, Christine.
And I want to thank you, too, Tony, for being open about it. So many people struggle with weight. I do. You know, I know a lot of people do it. A lot of people simply won't talk about it. They're ashamed of it. But God bless you, Tony. Good luck with your surgery. And you know, I'll be praying for you. And you got your friends here when you get back to work.
And I know, and I do appreciate that. Christine Berry, thank you so much. We'll visit. Well, I'll visit with you soon, but you'll be back in a couple weeks.
All right. Thank you, Tony.
All right. Christine Berry, once again, with Blogging for Michigan. And again, she's also at ChristineBerry.com, and that's B-A-R-R-Y. Oh, wow, Jeff, can you believe how fast this day went by?
No, it was quick.
I mean, this is insane. It's like, and I always worry that I'm never going to have enough stuff to talk about. And I do worry about that every day. I didn't even touch one article I printed for today. Not one. Not one.
And we still got a bunch of audio left.
And a bunch of audio, so I guess maybe we'll have an easier day tomorrow. Who knows? Now we say that, but then we never do. That's okay. We wouldn't want it to be easy. If it were easy, we'd be Republicans. I had a great time in Kalamazoo. I want to go back. I want to go back. Nothing out of you. Nothing. Nothing. Where are
what
you?
What do you want me to say? Yeah, Kalamazoo is a great
town. Out of you.
Had
when was the last time you were in Kalamazoo?
Not too long ago.
Really?
I got friends that still live there.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. I'd never been to Kalamazoo before. We got two inches of snow there overnight from Saturday into Sunday, so we actually left there when there was some snow on the ground, and unfortunately, by the time we were, I shouldn't say unfortunately, half an hour outside of, half an hour east of Kalamazoo, there was no snow at all.
You had to come north to get away from the snow. How
That's
crazy
funny.
Is that?
That's just funny. What a weird winter. No question that's true.
You know what the weird part about this winter was? Is the last couple of winters, we've always had that canned story on the news about how much salt is going to cost this year and throwing down on the roads, and can these counties afford to take care of the roads? We didn't have to hear that this year.
No, we didn't. It was really, really funny, and we'll get to it. We're going to listen to some Bob Ficano audio tomorrow, but he briefly mentioned that during his time on Flashpoint. But when we had the snow apocalypse that didn't happen a couple weeks ago, one of the local weather guys actually said, now if we have another significant event like this season, you know, the salt usage will be at about where it normally would be for the winter. Bull crap. As everybody says, I want to be a weatherman because they don't have to be right. I just I don't understand, you know, how science getting as good as it is, why they're always as wrong as they are.
The weather's just changing too fast.
I guess. I don't know. I don't get it. It's really, really weird. how wrong they are. I mean, that's that storm was supposed to just kill us, and we barely, I mean, it rained, for God's sake. I mean, that's just insane. I just don't get it, but don't have to. Anyway, all right. Okay, I'm, by the way, 9 days out of surgery, so I'm getting anxious about that, and in a good way, anxious in a good way, and I appreciate all of you that have reached out to me. I truly do. And, of course, we'll keep you updated on what's going on. All right, that's going to clean it up for us for today. Chris Mihalakis is tomorrow, the Michigan Environmental Council, with their monthly update, will be with us as well. Again, we got a lot of great audio. We got a lot of stuff left over from today. I'm sure the Rush Limbaugh story carries over to tomorrow, but maybe not. We'll see what happens. We'll just take it a day at a time. Anthony and Jeff, thank you for everything. As always, as an audience, you are amazing. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. If you need me in my office, just go to thetonyshow.org. You'll find the office number there. And in the meantime, as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Good morning. This subtle traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. The Jeffries eastbound at Southfield Freeway. That exit ramp is partially blocked, so expect some delays on I-96 as you approach. I'm Russ with traffic.
It's back. Drive through McDonald's today to get a Shamrock Shake. This cool treat full of minty goodness is only here for a limited time. Don't delay.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, partly sunny, a chance of snow showers, a high near 30. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 23. And then Tuesday, partly sunny, a high in the mid to upper 40s with some gusty winds out of the south. Right now, it's overcast and 22 degrees at Detroit City Airport. Have a great day, everybody.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Identify yourself, please. This is